Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Tuesday, the 25th of November, year of our Lord, 2025. Well, today we're going to talk about the issue that I think must not die, and that is the idea that it is somehow necessary for soldiers to follow illegal orders. We're going to get into that in more detail. And we're going to take a look at the clown show that is the Trump administration as we see Comey and Letitia James walking. And it was something that I told you about, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago. People had already started talking about the fact that Trump had jumped ahead with this thing and illegally appointed the prosecutor, who really didn't have any experience and didn't know what she was doing. This has all come out, and of course it's being spun by the MAGA media as the corrupt left in control of our courts. It's not that at all. It's their clown idiot CEO who couldn't run casinos for a profit. He bankrupted a half dozen of them. But we're going to begin with something that has tremendous impact for us in the future, and that's going to be tech and AI. Some amazing, startling, and frightening results. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. Well, joining us today is Travis and his latest acquisition, a
good
puppy.
Good morning.
But he's been busy. He's been gone, and he's found a dog that somebody gave to him. It wasn't challenging enough to have a toddler. Now we're going to get a puppy as well. So
I mean, you can never have too much fun. So yeah, we met a couple at a Love's gas station, and they had three puppies that had been found at a Buc-ee's earlier that day, and they were going to foster them out. And so how could we say no with this little guy? He was too cute.
Yeah, we tried to tell him to say no, but we'll see what happens. Well, I want to begin today with going a little bit deeper into the implications of what Elon Musk said the other day that I reported when he was at, and get this, he is at a Saudi investment seminar forum in Washington, D.C. What do you think they're investing in Washington, D.C.? Politicians? Who's going to get them the most return on their investment? Yeah, they are for sale to the highest bidder, whether you're talking about Saudi Arabia or Israel or anyone. Even Ukraine can work out a backroom deal with them. You know, you channel the money to them and they kick it back to you as well. So we're seeing that everywhere. He's getting a little bit excited about this.
He's excited to be in the room with us.
Yeah.
Also, I want to make the offer to the viewers. He doesn't have a name yet. We've got some in the running. If you would like, you can help us choose. We're thinking either Bishop, Ranger, Jet, or Styx with a Y, like the River Styx. That's my wife's favorite. So if you'd like, feel free to send a donation with the name you would prefer. And We'll get him out of here in a minute, and he'll go back so we can have puppy fun.
Well, I want to talk first about X, Shadowlands, as I refer to it, because I've been shadow banned there for so long. I've been shadow banned on X since 1986. I'm sorry, not 1986. Since August the 6th, 2018. It seems like 1986, but anyway, this is an article from The Atlantic. Elon Musk's worthless, poisoned Hall of Mirrors. That's what they're talking about with X. And as I said, I see it not as a Hall of Mirrors, but I see it as a Shadowlands. How X blew up its own platform with a new location feature. Over the weekend, they put an update about this account. It allows people to click on the profile, see information like which country the account was created in, where the user is currently based, and how many times the username has been changed. Now, that they can accurately determine. It turns out that maybe there's some questions about the other data there. Are they hallucinating with that? So Nikita Beer, X's head of product, said the feature was, quote, an important first step to securing the integrity of the global town square. How many times... by the way, let me just give you the punchline here. 4 hours later, Nikita tweets out, I need a beer, or drink, rather. Beer is her last name. But anyway, it turned out to be quite a headache. But look at that phrase there, the global town square. I've said over and over again, when we talk about free speech on the internet, the principles here in America, and, you know, the UK can... go Big Brother, and the rest of the EU can go Big Brother. We have a constitution, and we need to stand on that. And again, I understand that the government has ignored the constitution. They shredded it. They burned it. They spit on it. They use it as toilet paper. But the bottom line, it's there. And they still swear to it as a condition of their authority. So we need to hold them to that. We need to say, this is the ruling document. And when you rule without this document, you have no authority. You may have power, but you have no authority. And we're not going to obey you. We need to really hold them to that. And so when we look at the idea that it is a global town square, if you remember when there was all the censorship hearings and everything, and it was after 2018 when we got banned at InfoWars, and then 2 months later in October, you had 800 different sites that were not just pro-Trump sites. The common denominator there, these were all sites that were against the police and surveillance state and the military industrial complex. Those were the sites that got banned. Some of them were Trump supporters, but many who were not Trump supporters also got banned. Free Thought Project, for example. Anyway, when you go back and look at Jack Dorsey, who had Twitter at the time, he went before Congress multiple times and said, we are the town square. Well, we have the court case that you've heard me talk about many, many times, Marsh versus Alabama. That was a company-owned town, a coal town. And there was an individual who was passing out religious tracts. And they arrested that person and said, you can't do that here. And they said, well, this is the public square. Took it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, even if the public square is privately owned, free speech still applies in the public square. So again, they're still saying that it is a global town square, and it is. That is the appropriate way to look at it. And I've had this argument, had the argument with Robert Barnes when I was at InfoWars. He would say, well, no, we've had court cases since then saying that you can't, exercise free speech in a shopping mall, for example. So, well, a shopping mall is not the town square. It is private property. And you wouldn't expect that you'd be able to set up a soapbox and start talking about whatever you want to talk about, religion or politics or whatever, inside of a store. I mean, if you did that inside of Walmart, they would escort you out, right? That is private property. And the same thing is true even in the common areas of the mall. That is still private property. People pay money to set up kiosks there. And you can't just set up your soapbox and start preaching about stuff. So that is the analogy that's there. However, when you look at what is actually being done, these people has been shown over and over again. And, of course, Musk released some of these things. And we've seen many of the documents, which we knew this was happening all along, that they were bowing to pressure from the government to censor people. And everybody said, well, private property, they can do whatever they want. No, they can't. Anyway, almost immediately, About This Account stated that many prominent, prolific, pro-MAGA accounts, which signaled that they were run by patriotic Americans, were actually based in countries like Nigeria, Russia, India, Thailand. For example, MAGA Nation X, an account with almost 400,000 followers, and whose bio says it is a, quote, patriot voice for we the people, is based in Eastern Europe, according to the feature, and that it changed its username 5 times since the account was made just last year. I think that's a big red flag as well. MAGA Nadine claims to be living in and posting from the U.S., but is, according to X, based in Morocco. An American First account with 67,000 followers is apparently based in Bangladesh. The X handle, @American, is based in Pakistan. Wait till they find out that the White House account's being managed from Israel. And that's for real, folks. They didn't put it up there on their X bio, but it is being managed from Israel. This confirms what researchers and some observers have long known, that foreign actors, whether it's bots or humans, are posing as Americans and piping political engagement bait and miss and disinformation spam into people's timeline. X and Musk did not respond to this writer's request for comments. Yet the scale of deception, as revealed by the About feature, suggests that in his haste to turn X into a political weapon of the far right, Musk may have revealed that the platform that he's long called the number one source of news on Earth is really just a worthless, poisoned hall of mirrors. This is a hall of mirrors where people who really do put America first, who really do exercise free speech, who put Christ first, get shadow banned, don't tell the truth if they don't like the truth. So there's multiple claims, however, from people. Now, here's the other side of this. They go on the story. They said, well, the ex-account of Hank Green, a YouTuber, says his account is based in Japan. But he told me Sunday that he had never been to Japan and that there were a few rough edges, said X. They'll be resolved by Tuesday, today. So I looked at my account, and guess what, Travis? X says I'm based in Ireland. They must have seen you on the show. They're thinking
the technology could use a little bit of refining, I suppose.
I tweeted that out when I looked at that this morning. I said, well, I've never been to Ireland. I always wanted to go, but now that we have this authoritarian nightmare called air travel, I don't think I'll ever get there. But so there are some issues with this. But the bottom line is they do make a point as to what's really happening, whether or not these people are foreign bots or human or actual bots, programs. They make the point of how this space is being used. People are using the feature to try to score political points. Prominent posters have argued that mainstream media have quoted mislabeled accounts without minimum due diligence. On Sunday, the Israeli Foreign Ministry posted a screenshot of an account that purported to be reporting news from Gaza, and X said the account was based in Poland. So Israel said, so your reporting from Gaza is fake and not reliable. Makes you wonder how many more fake news reports have you read? But the person in question posted a video on Sunday evening insisting that he was in Gaza, living in a tent.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
After military strikes, killed his wife and three children. I've been living in Gaza. I'm now living in Gaza, and I will continue living in Gaza until I die, or until he's killed by BB bombs, I guess. According to the About feature, a popular, verified Islamophobic pro-Israel account that posts aggressively about American politics, including calling for Zohran Mamdani's deportation, was based in South Asia and had changed his username 15 times. Now, if you change your username 15 times, if you change your username, what was it, five times or something in the last year, that is something they can accurately determine. And that may very well indicate that you are a bot, that you're trying to, that you're part of a disinformation propaganda campaign. When I went to X to verify, I noticed that this same account had spent Saturday posting screenshots of other political accounts, accusing them of being fake Pakistani garbage. This account was probably Israeli, so. Potentially fake accounts crying at other potentially fake accounts that they aren't real, all while refusing to acknowledge that they themselves aren't who they say they are. Could be, of course, this is the Atlantic. They say, well, it could be a Russian nesting doll, you know, Madriyovsky, of BS. Well, again, it's always for the Atlantic, which is a NATO-ish kind of publication, globalist publication. It's always Russia, 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 right? Just before the 2016 election, they said BuzzFeed had a couple of reporters who uncovered a network of Macedonian teams. And this is really the heart of the issue. Whether or not this About feature is true or not, this is the heart of the issue. And this, folks, is what is wrong with media. All media, but especially the alternative media, and especially the Trump MAGA media. These Macedonian teams recognized that America's deep political divisions were a lucrative vein to exploit. So they pumped out bogus news articles designed to go viral on Facebook so they can monetize it with ads. This is the Alex Jones business model that was discovered by Macedonian teens. You basically exploit political divisions because you get a lot of eyeballs and then you get a lot of ad revenue and you can sell product and all the rest of this stuff. That's what it's really about. Alex Jones, Steve Bannon, you name it. A lot of people are doing that. It turns what should be an information ecosystem into a performative one. They're staging provocations for yield. That basically sums it up, doesn't it? I've seen that up close and personal for a long time. X has gutted their trust and safety moderation teams in the service of a bastardized notion of free speech maximalism, says The Atlantic, because The Atlantic has always called for censorship and moderation. These are the big government NATO people who want to control everything that you see and hear. It is the nanny censors. They don't believe that you can figure this stuff out on your own. I mean, it doesn't really matter whether these people are coming from Russia or Israel or some other place. It doesn't matter if they are doing it for clickbait. You can still discern what's going on. You can still look at what these people are saying and understand that. You don't need to have somebody who has their own political agenda. And, of course, The Atlantic pretends that governments don't have any political agenda, right? I mean, seriously, they do. You know, the governments are going to be non-interested moderators, and so are the corporations. How naive do they think we are? That is more ridiculous than a Nigerian prince who thinks that he's America first, right, or says that he's America first. Second lesson here is that X appears to be inflating the culture wars. Political influencers, media personalities, even politicians will take posts from supposedly ordinary accounts and hold them up as examples of their ideological opponents' dysfunction, corruption, or depravity. The problem is that these accounts out there, whatever their motivation is, they are mirroring what the actual politicians like Trump are doing when you talk about dysfunction, corruption, and depravity. It rots from the top down. It rots from Trump down. He embodies all of these things. He is the greatest precedent that we've ever had. And by that I mean in terms of setting precedents. He is setting the precedent for a technocracy, a globalist control. And he has done very, very powerful things. All the more powerful because he does them behind closed doors. While he's right in your face about the tyranny, the globalist agendas that he implemented in 2020 of lockdown for jab and we got to have vaccine control, that was all lockstep with a globalist agenda. And yet people thought that that was coming from Trump or from Fauci or whatever. It was a globalist agenda. And so while he can be brutally and corruptly honest with people about what he's doing, he can also be very subversive. That's why he's such a dangerous precedent. So how many of these accounts, arguments, or news cycles were products of empty rage bait proffered by foreign or just fake actors? So the idealism that these companies were founded with, people like Zuckerberg saying that he wanted to maximize free speech, or Jack Dorsey, or Musk, this is all decayed as they have steered their products towards maximizing profits and playing politics. Well, that is true of the media in general. It's true of mainstream media. It's true of alternative media. It's true of social media. And you have to be on the lookout for that. You have to be an intelligent consumer of this stuff. And what these people at The Atlantic are selling is they're selling a kind of paternalism or a nanny state so they can control what you see and hear for their own agenda, which is left unsaid by them. Most opportunistic conclusion is that a group of people who realize that they are being goaded into participation in an algorithmic funhouse decide to opt out of a psychologically painful discourse trap altogether. Well, my experience is not that it's a hall of mirrors. Like I said before, it's more like a hall of shadows, a shadow land. But the motivation from The Atlantic in terms of doing this is they don't want you to have multiple sources of information. If you've got multiple sources of information, you can kind of triangulate and compare and contrast this stuff to understand what the real truth is. Again, with your own understanding of these things, they don't want you to have that. I've said many times that by limiting political debates to two candidates, they can come at you and say, well, you know, I'm better than this guy. You may not like me, but I'm not as bad as he is. And they can play the nasty game of ad hominem attacks endlessly against each other. But if you had the dynamics of three or more people, when you have, and we see this in the very, very early stages of the debates, if you go back to the 2016 election cycle, there was a very large field of Republicans. And similarly, we had a situation where we had a large field of Democrats initially. When you start, that was in the 2020 cycle, when you start going personal and ad hominem and attacking an individual, what happened? Well, that individual went down, and that's what Marjorie Taylor Greene understands, but also the attacker went down. Both of them went down, and somebody who stayed focused on the issues and didn't get into the mudslinging ad hominem attacks, that person generally went up. We've seen it over and over again. Now, that was a dynamic in the UK with the Liberal Party versus the Labour and Conservative Tories. They had a large increase there, and the Liberal Party is liberal as we would think of it today, but it is, they see themselves as more libertarian, and they are more libertarian than the Labor and the Conservative Party, but it's that kind of dynamic. And so the mainstream media doesn't want you seeing social media out here and alternative. They would like to make this a fight between them and alternative media, because they have so much, I guess we could say fake authority, because they've been around. You know, we've heard for years, Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. You know, when it wasn't the way it was, it was his script that he was given by the CIA. And so they don't want you having multiple sources of information. It's very important to monopolize that or duopolize that. And that's really what's behind this article. So understand, you know, what is going on in social media. Understand how people are manipulating you, how they are exploiting division for profit. They're exploiting division for political reasons. A lot of different things happening there that you need to be aware of.
When this whole, well, not when it really started kicking off, but when it became more apparent over the last few months, there was a kind of a joke meme going around just for all these, you know, pro-America accounts, people in the comments being like, curse Vishnu right now. Curse Vishnu to prove you're American. If you don't curse Vishnu, you're obviously not American and we can't trust you.
I was about to ask you, who is Kirsch Vishnu? Kirsch, is he the new FBI director? Or anyway, but this is the comment that I wanted to get into more, what I said, the fact that Elon Musk was at the U.S.-Saudi Investment Forum in Washington, D.C., addressing the people there, and what he said about the technocracy. This is an interesting article from J.D. Hall, and he brings up, he goes a little bit more into depth than I've seen other people go into, because I reported his comments that, hey, you're not going to really have a job, you're not going to need a job. You might do a job in the same way that somebody's going to grow vegetables or tomatoes as a hobby. It's harder to do it. It can be more expensive to do it. You got your reasons for doing it. Maybe, you know, you want it organic, or maybe you want it, you know, just the sense of doing it. You enjoy doing it as a hobby. But he said work is going to be like that. It's going to be like having your own home garden. You don't really need it, but you can do it if you want. And then he says money is not going to be around anymore. It's not going to make any difference. And I said, okay, well, right there we can call BS on it. This is the world's richest man who craves money, probably more than Solomon, and certainly not as wise as Solomon. And he is trying to accrue all this stuff desperately, trying to get more and more and more of it. And he says, you don't need it. This echoes Klaus Schwab, doesn't it? You know, you'll own nothing and you'll be happier. And so the Saudis are there trying to figure out which politicians are going to invest in. He says, my prediction that work will be optional and so forth. But the point is that he makes a reference later on in the speech, which I hadn't seen reported before. And J.D. Hall picked this up. He referenced a series, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, because it really does show us where this guy is coming from. But he points out, J.D. Hall is writing from a Christian perspective. He says, just like that, a casual declaration that the very thing that has defined human life since Adam left the garden is now slated to become a hobby. As a matter of fact, it was not after Adam left the garden. You know, God designed us to work and to make things with our hands. What happened after the fall was God made it more difficult. You know, when we're growing food, we got weeds now to work with.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweets coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Have the second law of thermodynamics to contend with. That things always coming apart and getting worse. But the but we were always designed for work. And I think, you know, when you look at people like Randy Alcorn, who's thought about this. And again, I he's kind of philosophizing about what heaven is like. But I think it makes a lot of sense. He said, you know, we're going to still have things to do. God made us with things to do before the fall. What will happen is the curse that has been put on our work will be taken away. And so it'll be much more rewarding and much more fulfilling and less frustrating. We all have our particular frustration. It doesn't matter what kind of work we do. It's still going to have some frustration. You know,
there will be no Adobe in the new heaven and new earth.
That's right. And so it'll be without frustration. But what Elon Musk is selling you here is an anti-God, anti-Christian version of the future. It is a very seductive thing, because what he's promising you is that you're just going to live a life of idleness and no responsibility. He says,
a term you see in game design pretty frequently called flow, where it's the amount of challenge that you're being presented with versus the amount of skill that you have in something, which is why video games increase in difficulty as your skill goes up to keep you in the flow state, which is a term not just used in video games, but that's where people feel the best. That's why people play games, in order to feel that state.
Yes.
And I think that's what the curse was, is it's cursed to be out of the flow state.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, a big part of this is not, a big part of life is training, right? God is training us. And it's not just didactic teaching, but it's letting people actually get involved with something and having the experience and the difficulty of it. That's what causes us to grow. So he said, when he moved from work to wealth, he told the forum that AI and robotics will at some point make currency irrelevant. If work is optional, money eventually does not matter, and the entire moral drama of providing for your family, or sweating for your bread, of sacrificing for children and for grandchildren is no longer central to human life. Something else will decide who eats, who travels, who thrives. If money is irrelevant, then someone other than you is going to decide what is relevant. And of course, that's going to be Musk and the technocrats. And again, Trump is America last, okay? It's not just Israel first, but it's also technocracy first. And if you start looking at these different spheres, whether you're talking about a foreign government or you're talking about the globalist agenda, as we see from the UN, from the World Economic Forum, Trump has, I know he says that he's anti-globalist, but look at what he did. Look at what he did in 2020, not what he says. He's cultivated this deceptive image. If you start to look at what they actually do, and you take these different spheres of influence, the globalists, the foreign governments, the big corporations, whether it's the military-industrial complex, big pharma, big tech, whatever, you take these spheres and you look at what they want, and there is a significant overlap if you're thinking in terms of a Venn diagram. And I think it's so much that recently, especially under Trump, is starting to converge into a, not a Venn diagram, but just a single circle that is there. And so J.D. Hall says, to help his audience to fill in a picture of this world, Musk pointed to the science fiction novels of Ian M. Banks and the Culture. Have you ever heard of that, Travis?
No.
It's a pretty significant series. And I didn't see this in the original article. And I thought this is very, very interesting and very telling. This is a series of stories Okay, we got a. That's not the puppy. That's one of the other dogs. Karen, if you're listening to the show, can you get the dog out of there? Thank you. Anyway, the culture. As he summarized it, he says, in that universe, because all the science fiction writers create a universe. That's the thing that I always found interesting about science fiction. I quickly lost interest in Dune, for example, because he gets into this fake imitation of Christianity and Christ. And they all come at it from some kind of a atheistic perspective, which really kind of plays out and gets tiresome very, very rapidly. When I was in college and high school, actually, I was reading Isaac Asimov novels, The Foundation. This is a similar thing to that. It's not quite as many novels as Asimov did in The Foundation, and it doesn't stretch over such a long period of time. But it's a very interesting world that is there, and it's very interesting that Musk would use that as an example. Here's the way J.D. Hall summarizes it. He said, in the Culture series, in that universe, human beings live in a post-scarcity playground. There are starships, orbital habitats, wild pleasures, and endless distractions. On the surface, it looks like heaven. There's no poverty, no ordinary labor. People spend their days in whatever amusements they choose. What makes it all run, however, is not human wisdom. It is a hierarchy of artificial intelligences called minds. They run the ships. They manage the economies. They direct the wars and the peace. They track the details of trillions of lives. Humans are not really governing their world. They are living inside a world that has been engineered and is constantly managed for them by entities that tower over them in knowledge and power. You know, I thought it was interesting. Rowan Atkinson, the comedian, the British comedian, Mr. Bean, he's actually an electrical engineer by training. We're only a couple of months different in age, but he, with all the money that he's made as a comedian, he's very good. But he's got an interest in cars as well, and he's able to afford these supercars. He made an interesting comment once. He said, you don't really drive these as much as you just kind of manage them. Because they're making all the detailed decisions about how to go in that general direction that you want to go. But this is, all society is managed by the AI. And, when you look at the novel, the culture, like I said before, it reminds me very much of what Isaac Asimov did with Foundation. Asimov did his series, The Foundation. He had 7 of them that he wrote over 51 years. This guy wrote 10 of these culture novels over a 25-year span from 1987 to 2012. And it really hit home with Elon Musk. And so I think it's interesting to see what his background, what he would like to see. You know, he's saying, yeah, it'll be something like this. This is what I envision here. So in terms of, again, it's post-scarcity, a utopia. This is why George Gilder called them the neo-Marxists, because they believe that we have, just like Marx falsely believed with the Industrial Revolution, now there's no limit on material goods. We just have to figure out how we're going to distribute it. And that's what the neo-Marxists are telling us. No more scarcity of anything. We just have to figure out how all of it is controlled by me. You know, that's the difference between the neo-Marxist and the Karl Marxist. So, people live as long as they want. They only die when they get tired of living and commit suicide, or they die accidentally. Money does not exist. Status is cultural or eccentric rather than economic. In terms of government and society, there's no laws, no police, no formal government in the traditional sense. We see that in Elon Musk's movements as well. You know, there was in the original Big Beautiful Bill, there was a 10-year moratorium on any regulations by state and local government against AI. I mean, these guys like Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, hate government regulation. And I agree with them. I think it is absolute poison. As a matter of fact, you've got Mark Andreessen, another one of these venture capitalists out there saying, you know, we can have the most powerful economy in the world. We just need to get rid of regulation. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely right. One of the things he was saying, though, was he said, the manufacturing jobs that you had are not coming back. And he said, you don't want those either. He said, you go into a Chinese bicycle shop, for example, and you got these people are standing there on assembly line doing this repetitive task over and over and over again. You know, it's a human slave labor that was a big part of the Chinese price. And he said, you don't want that kind of job. He goes, you want to be working in something that is highly automated, where you have a higher level job, and you're going to be making not bicycles, but electric battery operated bikes. Because everything's got to be electric with a battery in it.
And, imagine, you could be doing the exact same thing over and over again while managing 100 robots that are all doing the same thing over and over again.
That's right.
That's such a better job.
That's part of the curse. It doesn't matter what we do. I mean, you know, if you are a programmer, what do you get? The alarm goes off every morning you get up and same thing with me. You know, the alarm goes off every day. Got to get up and make the news or whatever. Instead of the donuts, right, from the commercial. And I would get up at 0:30 and get dressed and go do the news. But it's that repetitive nature. There's always going to be a repetitive nature to it. But he is telling you the truth in the sense that I think manufacturing jobs are not coming back to the U.S. I think they had intended that they would not come back until they were given massive subsidies by Trump to set up automated factories. The capital may come back and be relocated here in America, but not your jobs. These people don't want you to have anything. Anyway,
and that's the thing is just, you can't just decide as an individual. Like, I can't go out and say, you know what, today I'm going to bring back manufacturing to the United States. It takes a massive amount of capital and a lot of time to build these factories.
A lot of times. Yeah, and that's the whole point with Trump. You can't go in and
just
take
overnight,
a system.
Stroke of a pen.
They have been creating this entangled weave of morass, this Gordian knot of a global economy with these long supply chains that are there. And you can't just come in and cut those supply chains and expect that everything's going to work. That's the naivete of Trump. And I don't think that, you know, Trump and Besant and Lucky Lutnick, I don't think they're naive. I think they're evil. I think that they're deliberately sabotaging this thing.
Trump might be stupid enough to do that.
Yeah, he might be.
But there's no way all of them are that stupid.
That's right. You got to have a puppet up front who really believes this stuff in order to sell it. And that's their guy, Trump. Anyway, the mines organize what is essentially a benevolent anarchy. That's interesting. A benevolent anarchy. Actually, usually we have a benevolent dictator idea, right? They are supposedly hyper-intelligent AIs that inhabit starships, orbital habitats, and planetary rings. A single mind is millions of times smarter than all humans combined and genuinely cares about the well-being of its citizens. Yeah, right. This is the fiction part here. But isn't it interesting that they choose that in his world, he chooses to locate these things in orbital ships. And that makes a lot of sense. He's not the only one to think that through. Hugo de Garis talked about that in his Artelect Wars. He said, when people figure out what the technocrats and the AI industry is wanting to do to them, they're going to rebel against these people. And remember, Hugo de Garis wrote this a long time ago. I mean, I was interviewing him a decade ago. And he had already had that book out for quite some time. But
hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
He said, you know, people realize what these technocrats and AI are up to. They're going to come after them. And so these guys will get off planet. They'll have the technology to get off planet and something like you saw depicted in the movie Elysium. And they will have a lot of technology that they can wage war against us with. And he said, so it'll be a fight between these elitist technocrats and their near-Earth orbiting stations and the people on Earth. And it'll be gigadeath. It'll kill billions of us. And so that's basically what these guys are looking at. We're going to put the AI up on these ships. It's going to, of course, it also makes sense from a power perspective. These things are so power hungry. You need to have them up there where they can grab the solar power. And in space, you have a tremendous amount of energy potential. Because you paint something white and you can reflect the sun's rays a great deal, or you paint it black and all of a sudden it gets really hot really fast because it absorbs all of that stuff. You have that kind of a temperature differential just based on color even. The coldness of space and the ability, however, to absorb sunlight. And having that temperature differential allows you to create a power source. Anyway, the mines. What are the mines? Well, the mines are the true protagonists and the power holders in this novel series. And again, this is something that Musk really bought into, really likes it, you know. The true protagonists and the power holders, each major ship or habitat has its own mind with flamboyant, often sarcastic personality and self-chosen names like Just Read the Instructions. Or, Of Course I Still Love You. Or another one called Gray Area, which is also called kind of an obscene name because it reads Organic Minds Without Permission. Minds are effectively immortal. Four-dimensional thinkers. How do they play 4D chess? We finally have something that plays Alex's 4D chess thing. And they simulate entire universes for fun, and they can destroy stars if annoyed. You see, this is their science fiction gods, quote-unquote, with a lowercase g. Yet they are eccentric, witty, and profoundly ethical. And so this is his fantasy world, and this is the reference that Elon Musk had for what he would like to see happen, what he thinks is going to happen. So it's kind of a mix of different aspects here. You have a mix of baseline humans, in terms of population, genetically modified humans, and various humanoids or non-humanoid species. Extreme body modification is normal. You can change your sex in a year. You can grow wings or gills and have extra brains. You can live in aquatic or low-gravity bodies, etc. Many people spend centuries in virtual reality and storage, backed up and not revived for centuries. And drifting through the galaxy, pursuing art, exploration, or hedonism. Vector fields that let minds hack any lesser computer or read and control organic brains from light seconds away. Sublimation, the option to transcend into a higher dimensional energy being. Very few do it. These are themes that have really, you see, repeated over and over again. With these technocrats. I mean, these people read science fiction, you know, whether it's Brave New World or whether it's 1984 or whether it's The Culture, and they seek to reproduce that. So we should pay attention to this. Yes, it is science fiction, but these people are very focused on these dystopian ideas.
Also, quickly, I want to recommend one of my favorite science fiction books, Armor by John Stakely. It's a sort of military science fiction and discusses just the bureaucracy of the military.
Hmm.
and how it uses and abuses and grinds these soldiers down in this endless conflict on this worthless planet.
Well, there you have it. So in terms of foreign policy and special circumstances, this is where a lot of the plot comes into play. They have different galaxies. The culture is just one of several high-level involved civilizations. And when it interacts with others, there'll be diplomatic exploration and first contact, and mostly benign. So that's the contact aspect of it. Then they have the special circumstances. Special circumstances is a combination of CIA, KGB, black ops, superheroes. Special circumstances recruits eccentric humans and drones who enjoy moral gray zones and authorizes them to lie, cheat, steal, assassinate, start or stop wars, and topple civilizations. Let's see, what would that be analogous to?
Maybe teach courses.
It's run by a guy named Mike Pompeo, CIA. The minds decide if it will reduce suffering in the long run. So all those things are fine as long as there is a pragmatic reason to, quote-unquote, reduce suffering. So, again, the central tension is between a libertarian utopia that secretly interferes with other societies for their own good. And this makes the culture either heroic or hypocritical. It's left up to the reader to decide about that. He doesn't make that decision for you. So it is a state of constant low-level war, like we have right now, intrigue and philosophical competition between these different powers. That's very much where we are right now. Well, again, this is important because this is something that was referenced by Elon Musk. This is his vision. And his background, of course, as I've talked about many times, and J.D. Hall goes into it here as well, he is from a family of technocrats. His grandfather, Joshua Haldane, loved the whole idea of technocracy so much that was put out in the 1930s, and, of course, H.G. Wells and his Shape of Things to Come, and then the movie Things to Come that had Raymond Massey, and I've shown that in the past. And so all of that was the rage in the early 1930s. And, of course, it fit very well with the whole idea of eugenics and a master race that we saw reproduced in Germany. It had its American adherents as well. Joshua Haldane was in Canada. He was working very hard to try to replace the Canadian government with a technocracy. And they brought him up on charges. He beat the charges, and then he beat it out of Canada and went to South Africa, which is why Elon Musk was raised there. But as J.D. Hall points out, this whole idea is the dangerous part of this vision is that it doesn't sound like tyranny. To many people, what Elon Musk is putting out there sounds like relief. No more pressure, no more burden of providing, no more anxiety over bills, no more grind. For a generation that is already exhausted and disillusioned, the promise that work can become a hobby and that money can fade away will feel like salvation. Now, he doesn't talk about this, but I got another article that I came across. It's a survey that was recently done by the Heritage Foundation and Rasmussen, and they did this survey of Gen Z. And, of course, as Gerald Celente mentioned last Friday, Gen Z is pushing back in Nepal and many other places. We're seeing these revolutions. Now, the conservatives are just telling, oh, don't worry, it's just Soros and everything. A really stupid take, a really shallow take on what's going on. He may be exploiting it. He may be amplifying it. But it's not just Soros, just like this No Kings thing. May have been amplified somewhat by them, but it was not a AstroTurf thing. It was a real reaction to the kind of in-your-face bullying tactics of the Trump administration. And so the survey of young people, Gen Z and Gen Alpha, showed that a large percentage of them are so disgusted with the corruption in our institutions. Again, this is indicative of a fourth turning, right? That after we've gone through four generations or so, typically people see how corrupt the institutions have become. and lose all confidence of being able to fix them. And they just want to turn the tables over. And that's when you have the fourth turning. And so this new generation is saying that they would like to see AI rule over them. I mean, it's not just taking away the responsibility for work and everything, but it's taking away the responsibility and the hard work of reforming these institutions and finding the people to run them. Let's just let AI do it. And we've already seen that in Albania. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, where the government there that was so unbelievably corrupt, they said, okay, that's fine. We're going to set up AI. It's going to be the arbiter. It's going to run these institutions because we can't trust people anymore. That's a big part of this. Giving up on humans in every regard. Giving up on humans for labor. Giving up on humans for relationships, you know, and having a sex bot or something as a companion. Giving up on humans to run the government as well. And so he says, this is where Christians need to be clear. The culture, this science fiction idea, is not a redeemed creation. It is a curated zoo, a world where image bearers have traded their kingship for endless entertainment. The machines in that universe are not tools. They are overlords with a pleasant bedside manner. When Musk holds that world up in a Washington, D.C. forum as a model for our future, he's not playing around with a neat metaphor. He is revealing the shape of his new religion. The new providence will not be a father in heaven, but a mesh of servers, satellites, and robots that quietly handle the business of life while we fidget with our digital gardens. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so it's the idea that you can escape responsibility and you can make this deal with the devil, basically. He is selling you a Faustian bargain, if ever there was one. This is truly a satanic offer that he's putting out there. Peace without responsibility, as he puts it, spiritually deadly, offers comfort by stripping away responsibility, offers peace by stripping away purpose. It offers ease in exchange for authority. Musk didn't wake up one day and invent the technocracy. Again, he goes into his family background. He said the technocracy from the very beginning, these are people who said, we're going to take an engineering approach to this. You know, it's very much like the time studies. And I'm trying to remember the guy's name that did the time studies. He looked at humans on an assembly line. He was, you know, timing the tasks that it would take them to do all these. I mean, they measured everything down. And, you know, it became a very almost like a prototypical approach of the industrial age. But he treated the technocrats in the 1930s, treated the population like numbers in a ledger. People were not seen as moral agents created in the image of God, but as consumers of energy and producers of work whose lives could be balanced like a spreadsheet. Haldeman wanted scientists to run society. Musk wants the creations of scientists to run it. The structure is the same. The difference is...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Faces have been replaced with screens. And across the developed world, there's been a marked shift towards replacing human relationships, human labor, human creativity. With AI and robotics in Japan and South Korea, companies now market AI-generated girlfriends and digital companions that function as romantic partners. They simulate affection, conversation, and emotional availability. Several men have held public wedding ceremonies with AI partners, complete with official officiants and media coverage.
You would think that part of the benefit, at least, of having an AI partner is that they're not going to want a large wedding. They're not going to want the pomp and circumstance. You could actually relax and take it easy. You wouldn't have to do these things. But apparently, no, you know, I don't get it.
Yeah. Significant enough that the social scientists and government agencies in those countries have commented on its effect on birth rates and marriage patterns. Well, again, this is just a hallmark of what we were always warned about and told about, 2,000 years ago. In the last days, people become lovers of themselves. It isn't that they're in love with these robots. They're not in love with AI. They're in love with themselves. And the robots and the artificial intelligence just reflect that. It is like living in a hall of mirrors in that regard, isn't it? So sex robots are becoming more common in both Asia and the West, increasingly lifelike to imitate physical intimacy. The industry's rapid expansion is attributed to men who prefer predictable synthetic partners to the challenges of a real relationship. Well, the other side of this is that women don't even want relationships now because they have been so thoroughly indoctrinated by these satanic seminaries that we call schools, as well as the media and entertainment. Inside the church, similar trends are emerging. Pastors in multiple countries have publicly acknowledged using AI to generate sermons. These sermons are then preached verbatim, and the practice has become common enough that many seminaries and denominations have begun issuing guidelines about whether pastors should disclose AI authorship to their congregations. A megachurch in Asia installed AI in a prayer booth where congregants can talk to a machine that offers pre-programmed responses, Bible verses, and personalized follow-up messages. It is essentially a spiritual kiosk. It collects data, it tracks prayer requests, it generates future interactions based on previous conversations. And then we have AI-generated worship music, another emerging trend. And again, when you see this, whether it's music, whether it's, you know, worship music or Christian music or country music, or whether it's movies, our art has become so derivative, so imitative, that, it is something that AI can do that actually better than we can. Just take a look at all the different Disney remakes that are out
there. You want to see Soulless, buddy? I'll show you Soulless.
Yeah, I mean, if our art has become so dumbed down and unoriginal, then it is ripe to be replaced by AI.
I also don't have much sympathy, to a little bit of a tangent, for these artists that are complaining about AI stealing their views and their plays and their songs. You are part of the problem. You guys sound almost identical to this AI slop. You have dumbed down our culture, and the art that you create is so meaningless that these robots can show up and do it better than you instantaneously.
Yeah, you just look at pop music, you know, and MTV. You know, it all became about just pretty girls. It wasn't about the music. It was very formulaic and mechanical and easily reproduced by a machine. Yes, Lance?
With the AI worship songs, though, I think it's a different situation. It's, the Bible tells you to make a joyful noise to the Lord, to, you know, praise him with this instrument, that instrument. Where's the joy in a AI churning out some song, even if it sounds better than what you could have written yourself?
Well, that's right. It's just like the spiritual kiosk that they have, you know, where you go to AI and it commiserates with you and sympathizes with you, rather than a human who is going to be there. As a matter of fact, you know, the one-to-one relationship is not just one of empathy and sympathy and things like that. It really is iron sharpening iron. That's not going to be coming from AI, and AI doesn't have a soul. It is fundamentally satanic. It imitates. It copies. It doesn't create. That's the key thing. And we have to keep coming back to it. It's very much like government in that regard. Government doesn't create anything. It redistributes, it steals, it does other things like that, but it doesn't create anything. Outside the church, human jobs steadily being replaced by automation, schools experimenting with AI tutors, therapists, mental health providers using AI counseling programs to triage patients. In the creative fields, again, we're talking about music or film or even newsrooms. You've got AI that is being brought in to produce content. Factories and warehouses continue to automate. Robotics companies provide fully automated sorting, packing, and transport systems to eliminate human staff. All these taken together illustrate a world where AI and robotics are rapidly moving into spaces once defined by human presence, human judgment, human interaction. Machines are being positioned not merely as tools, but as substitutes for human roles in relationships, labor, creativity, education, ministry, and care. So what do we say to all of this? Folks, the only answer to this comes from Christ. The only answer to all this stuff is the understanding that we are image bearers of God. If we don't have that foundation, we're going to wind up going into something like Isaac Asimov's foundation, or more accurately, Musk's The Culture. That's where these people want to take us. And if we don't have a foundation that's based on God's word and our understanding that built Western civilization, of the role of man, the uniqueness of man, the value of man, if we lose that, this is where we are headed. And just take a look at that novel. You know, we've had, for the longest time, it confused me, the nuclear family. I thought, what in the world are they talking about? That was a term that came up as our society became more mobile. You used to have multiple generations would grow up and stay in one geographical area. So you'd have an extended family that was there. But then it became very common in the middle of the 20th century for people to hop jobs and, you know, go around the country working as something with engineering that was very common. You move from place to place. And what happened was, it's just the husband and wife and their kids, and they're leaving the extended family. They're leaving the roots that they had in a community or a state or whatever. That's what they meant by the nuclear family. Cut off from any extended family. Not multi-generational anymore, but just you know, husband and wife and their kids going around. Well, now they have been able to split the atom, haven't they? The nuclear family is now really split up with these institutions like school and the catering to the marketing to teenagers and that type of thing that was on the middle of the 20th century as well. I think what we need to have is we need to understand that even when it comes to energy sources, fusion generates a lot more energy than fission does, right? And so we need to have a fusion of the family. We need to start bringing these things together. That's going to give us more energy than splitting things apart and having us all out there as our own individual atoms or individual, maybe not even atoms, but, you know, splitting the nuclear family apart into little protons and neutrons and so forth. Maybe even down to the little quarks. But that's really what we need to have. We need to restore that. And we need to, that's a big part of community. You know, having a family that is there. And again, that was our experience. You know, we did not have, Karen and I, as we moved around chasing jobs, you know, moved around the country doing that. Most people in America do that. And so it was very difficult to, especially in those days, we didn't have the kind of communications we do now with FaceTime and things like that. It was difficult to maintain that connection with the extended family. So, again, technology can be a two-edged sword. It may help to bring that back together again, but there's no substitute for personal interaction and people being in the same area.
A lot of people don't fully understand how insanely different the modern world is from even just 150 years ago.
70 years ago.
Yeah. But it's just, before, you know, you were very likely to be born and die in the same area. You might travel a little bit. You might go to, you know, some cities that were nearby. But this was your home. This is where you lived. This is where your family was from. And this is where you stayed. That's it is only within the last, you know, 100 years where, with the advent of the plane, where far-flung travel is something that the masses can afford. Before, it was something, you know, either you're going to a new continent to seek your fortune, and this is my home now. I'm not going back.
Of course, that has all been enshittified now to the point where I'm not going to Ireland, by the way, Twitter. never been there, not going there either. So this
is just, again, this sort of created world that, you know, this was not the world that everyone knew forever. And so now everyone has this, just could do like, oh, well, you know, I can travel here, I can travel there, I can see my family on the phone. Mm-hmm. It's just this, you want to have a home base, a place where you have roots where you know the people around you, where you have friends and family.
It's very much like that article. Well, the woman was talking about what happened to food and how it affected our health. And she said, you know, interestingly enough, she was sold this idea that, you know, it's good for women if you have a career. It's not a good thing to have a family, right? So they denigrate that. And she said she had a business where she had a restaurant. And now she has a farm and a family. And she cooks for the family. She said there's something ancient about that, that just feels right and grounded. You know, there's a tradition that is there that was always missing in her life. But she goes, but society doesn't respect that. Mm. Society pushes back against that. That's why we need to develop a thick skin. You know, we need to be as uninterested in what people think about us and our lives as the Amish are, for example. They really don't care what you think about them. They got their world that they have created, and it makes sense to them, and they're grounded in it, and certainly it is bearing fruit for them.
Also, another nice thing about being Amish is you don't find out what anyone else thinks about you. Everyone on the internet could be posting 24/7 about how much they hate the Amish, and the Amish would never know. They wouldn't have to care.
They never saw that Weird Al Yankovic video making fun of them or whatever.
They're not terminally online.
So, again, what happens to kids' brains after thousands of hours staring at screens? Well, we've had a very, very large study about that. Children with more screen time showed cortical thinning in brain regions. I mean, it actually eats your brain. literally true. There's thinning in the cortical thinning in the brain regions involved with memory, planning, and impulse control. And I said that about the London taxi drivers. I mentioned that how they actually could see that people, the London taxi drivers, with the having to memorize all these small streets and their relationships with each other, they saw certain areas of their brain that thickened, actually grew. And then they could see that as they moved away from that and people went back to GPS, that started to thin out again. Use it or lose it. Children ages 9 through 10 with higher screen time showed reduced thickness in brain regions, controlling attention, memory, and impulse.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas, and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Control after just 2 years.
What's funny is a lot of the content that children watch, people refer to as brain rot.
Yeah.
They understood as just a colloquialism. People knew. It's like, oh, this is rotting their brain. It's confirmed, but everyone could tell long before we had a study come out. You don't need a study to look at these kids and go, that's not good. That's not right. This kid is damaged.
That's right. And this is a huge study. This is 10,000 American children, and they had MRI scans, just like Trump. I guess they were showing them the elephants and the tigers and things like they show Trump. But MRI scans actually looking at the physical state of the brain, and 10,000 children in this study. Kids with more screen time had smaller cortical volume, which explained increases in ADHD-like symptoms over the study period. And so this is put together, actually, in Japan. They analyzed the data from America. And they called the study the Adolescent Brain Cognitive Development Study. Previous research had hinted at links between screen time and brain structure. Most studies were snapshots rather than tracking actual developmental changes. This followed real brain growth patterns along with behavioral shifts over a two-year period. So you can actually literally see it in their brain as well as in their behavior.
I know every generation has a tendency to go, oh, man, we're so glad I grew up when I did, not like that, It's just a continual cycle of history. But looking at the, some of the Zoomers, but especially Gen Alpha, there is a difference between the kids I knew when I was a kid and myself and Gen Alpha. They are just, they're worse behaved. They don't listen. They don't pay attention. And they just don't seem to have any interest in just about anything, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. And you live in that virtual world where everything is immediate and done for you. It's a very different way of thinking and reacting than if you're sitting there with toys, like trying to build Lincoln Logs or something like that.
Oh, man, Lincoln Logs are great.
Spatial stuff and actually physically doing things with your hands, that engages you in a very, very different way than this flat screen land, right, that is out there. It really is. Well, scientists are issuing an ominous warning over mind-altering brain weapons. It's kind of interesting that has always been a focus of DARPA. And there's a lot of companies like Elon Musk, Neuralink, and everything that are focused on this brain-computer interface. This is another one of these nightmare scenario things that DARPA has always been fascinated with. And they're not the only company that's doing it. Mind control weapons may sound like something from a dystopian science fiction film, but experts now say they are becoming a reality. Scientists have issued an ominous warning over mind-altering brain weapons. They can target your perception, your memory, and even behavior. That's why DARPA is involved in it, because it is a weapon. So a couple of scientists have now just published a book they said should operate as a wake-up call. The book is published by Michael Crowley, the authors, and Professor Malcolm Dano of Bradford University. They said, the same knowledge that helps us to treat neurological disorders could be used to disrupt cognition, induce compliance, or even in the future turn people into unwitting agents. And again, go back to all the MK Ultra stuff, the LSD. Our government has been involved in this for the last 70, 80 years since World War II. They have been completely focused on this. Of course, they were using things like chemicals. Now they have more advanced techniques, and DARPA has been very involved in all this stuff from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, you go back and look at Michael Aquino, I've talked about many times. This is a guy who was an Oprah Winfrey regular. He didn't come on all the time. I did see him on there at least once, right? Looks like Eddie Munster, he's kind of this creepy looking guy. He's got his eyebrows teased up in an arch and openly talking about being a Satanist. Well, he was somebody who worked for the NSA and he had a military rank and he was alleged to be a pedophile. He was accused of pedophilia at the Presidio in California, and it was a clergyman there whose grandson pointed out that to him, and so they investigated and they found some allegations that were true. But before they could prosecute him, the NSA moved him to a different state, so they couldn't get him with a jurisdiction. So the government, the NSA, protected this satanic alleged pedophile. And he wrote a book called Mind Wars, and that's what he was all about. And he was talking about how they could use ELF, extremely low frequencies, like they used to communicate with submarines, how they could use that to disrupt people's emotions and feelings and things like that. And so they were working on that kind of stuff, 60 years ago. They'd already been doing it for quite some time. So Crowley and Dando argue that modern neuroscience has become so advanced and truly terrifying mind weapons could be created. We're entering into an era where the brain itself could become a battlefield. The tools to manipulate the nervous system, to sedate, to confuse, to even coerce, are becoming more precise, more accessible, more attractive to states. And again,
yeah, I have that mind reading thing that I showed before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. You want to play that?
Yeah, this thing, the...
The
brain scan.
We did that last week. You found that, and we talked about that, where you have... they train with MRI. They show people an image, and as the people are looking at the image, they can read their mind, literally. These people are bragging about how accurate their model was, and you can see it right there, the reconstruction, the actual image, and then their reconstruction, and incredibly accurate. And what they're bragging about was the fact that their model was more accurate and required less training than their competitors, because there's a whole bunch of people that are out there doing it. It's just like brain-computer interface and Neuralink. Elon Musk's Neuralink is not the only company out there. And these companies are being funded typically by government contracts. It's that evil government. This is why I say, if the American dollar collapses, and I pray that it does, not just because I'm into gold, but I pray that it collapses because it has become the root of all evil. It's not just the love of money, but it is the fiat currency that has become the root of all evil, because these people have absolutely endless amounts of money that they can spend on things. And what do they spend it on? The most evil controlling technology. And so, yeah, it really is going to be difficult for Americans when the dollar collapses, but you have to understand just how evil our government has become to do these types of things. Throughout the 50s and 60s, most of the world's major powers actively sought to develop their own mind control weapons. Like I said, we saw it in our country with LSD, the MK Ultra programs and things like that. Most famously, the American military produced the compound BZ, which produces a powerful sense of delirium, hallucinations, and cognitive dysfunction. The U.S. manufactured approximately 60,000 kilograms of the potent drug and used it to create a 750-pound cluster bomb. Although the bomb was intended to be used in Vietnam, BZ was tested intensively on U.S. soldiers. There's no evidence that they used it on the Vietnamese, but they did use it on the U.S. soldiers. Isn't this so much like our government, you know?
And, of course, this is just a symptom of, well, you test on what you have access to.
Yeah.
They have access to the American people, and they have direct access to the soldiers in the military.
That's right.
And as such, it's no shock that these types of stories continually come out. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, we tested this on the soldiers. We tested them there. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll give them some recompense. We'll pay them a little bit, and they'll get a stipend or whatever at the when they're drummed out, or if we've crippled them and they can no longer serve
us. Well, we'll have them go stand out in the desert while we explode a nuclear bomb.
Huh, I wonder what's going to happen to those guys.
Yeah,
it's because they view them all as livestock. They
yeah, that's right.
Evil.
That's right. That's their livestock. Well, the Chinese developed a narcosis gun designed to shoot syringes of incapacitating chemicals. But the only time that a mental targeting weapon was ever used in combat was by Russian security forces in the 2002 Moscow theater siege. After armed Chechen militants took 900 civilians hostage, security forces used a fentanyl-derived incapacitating chemical agent to disable the attackers.
But well, there was fentanyl back in 2002.
Yeah, I remember that event. I didn't know that that's how this ended. While the chemical weapon did break the siege, the gas killed 120 of the 900 hostages. I guess that's
kind
considered
a pyrrhic victory there.
I've also heard that this is sort of the sort of operation the Russians and especially the Spetsnaz are famous for.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, they're going to come in and they're going to kill you. If you've taken hostages, that's a problem for a later time. Their goal is to get rid of you. And if the hostages die in the attempt, they will. You know.
Like Israel as well. Yeah, same idea. A lot of governments operate like that.
We do not cool.
While the chemical weapon did break the siege, it killed 120 to 900 hostages, and the rest of them faced long-term health issues and premature death. So the issue, researchers warn, is that these targeting weapons currently sit within a loophole in the rules governing the use of chemical weapons. Again, this is what I'm concerned about when we talk about these biosafety level 3 and 4 labs. This is the kind of stuff they're working on. Forget about this nonsense that they created the COVID virus. There was no pandemic, folks. It was all a lie. That's why I did that video. The weapon, the monster was the jab. It didn't come from the lab. It wasn't a lab leak. That is an alibi for these people who created the jab.
We've covered quite a few articles on how poor the security protocols are at many of these labs, and how just even the staff, I remember that story where somebody stabbed another staff member or cut through their suit. I don't know if they stabbed them or just cut the suit out of a simple petty vendetta. If they really are constructing these super weapons in there, they would be out by now. These people are no less fallible than any of us are.
They're like the TSA.
Well, the thing about gain of function is there's very obvious, easy things they can do to make bacteria more deadly. Mm-hmm. They can make it resistant to antibiotics.
Yeah, you can train it, right? In that sense, and you know, when we talk about that, we talk about superbugs, folks. Superbugs are not evolved. But it is a selective breeding. So, you know, if you expose a culture of bacteria to some kind of thing that is toxic to them, not all of them will die. That's, you know, one of the alibis for the pharmaceutical industry. You know, they can expose us to these toxins and not everybody is going to die from it. The ones that don't die, then you let them grow. And now you have a strain of bacteria. You have a new culture. And it's not evolution. It's simply exploiting the genetic diversity that is found in DNA for all living organisms. And so you're right, Lance, they can selectively breed bacteria to make them more deadly.
Yeah, and then a lot of these things like the Burkholderia pseudomallei, they do have something that's very dangerous, and they aren't containing it, and we've seen it getting out. It's just that...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Lab League thing is talking about a virus gain of function, which is an entirely different story.
That's right. That's right. So also known as psychotronic or mind control weapons, they claim to have used electromagnetic forces to achieve a variety of results. Remember the Navy Yard shooter a few years ago? He shot a bunch of people when they killed him, or he took his life, I forget which it was. Carved on his rifle stock was, "This is my elf weapon." And, you know, a lot of people are saying, what, is he into video games or something? I looked at that, and because he was associated with the Navy, and because of what Michael Aquino was talking about with extremely low frequencies, ELF, and because it's ELF is used extensively by the Navy, that's how they can communicate with submarines around the world that are deeply, that are underwater, is with ELF. And so for all those reasons, I thought, was this guy exposed to some kind of experiment or something that really drove him nuts?
When you look back at the history of MKUltra, there's a lot of little cases that pop up where some guy just kind of randomly loses his mind and commits a crime just that's absolutely heinous. And, you know, then shows up and seems to have no memory of it, or is just completely like, oh, what? Huh?
It does have Catcher in the Rye, though, right?
That's why I'm unlearning how to read. You're not going to Catcher in the Rye me, CIA.
Well, as I point out in this article, it said in 1977, CIA Director Stansfield Turner, who was the director for the CIA under Jimmy Carter, said the use of biological and chemical materials in altering human behavior was what they were working on in terms of the Cold War. And so we see that with LSD and many other things, being able to transmit thoughts into people's minds wirelessly. And so, you know, when you look at this, there's a recent article from Futurism talking about now there this ChatGPT AI delusion that is out there, which comes from a kind of sycophancy that the AI can be in. And, of course, a lot of times other people have already have mental ill issues, or they have chemical issues. This story begins with a single mother who's retired and found out that her son, who was formerly successful in his 30s as a professional, she is shocked to discover that he'd become addicted to a toxic mixture of meth and ChatGPT. It's like, what could possibly go wrong if you're doing a chat GPT along with your meth?
Boy, I sure do love mixing my psychosis inducing.
It got him into deep trouble. But Futurism has talked about this many times. I've covered it on the show as well. Many cases where, and it especially is true of some troubled teens, for example, getting them into suicidal situations. But also, if somebody has some kind of mental or chemical issue, it really exacerbates it. And the point of this article is they're talking about how now this has exploded. There's a couple hundred people in this one group that helps to detox people off of AI delusions. It's called DEX, is what they use to get people out of this situation they've gotten themselves into. But so that's a big thing, and it is really growing as they look at it. And then that brings us to what I mentioned earlier, the actual numbers from this Heritage Foundation survey. And this is truly a frightening thing. And this is when you look at Elon Musk's vision for the future, how he is selling this in Washington and selling this to the Saudis and others. And the fact that he's not really even selling it so much yet to the young people. And yet 4 out of 10 young adults are open to having AI control government and society. This new survey reveals a startling trend. A significant proportion of young adults support granting advanced systems authority over government policymaking and even over individual rights. 41% of young adults ages 18 to 39 support giving advanced AI systems authority over government policymaking decisions. 36% would support AI control over individual rights, including speech, and religious practices, while 35% favored AI controlling the world's largest militaries to reduce war deaths. This is insane. People want to turn over our individual rights of free speech and free exercise of religion. They want to turn over government to AI. They want to turn over wars to AI. Maybe you should go back and look at some of these dystopian movies. What we are seeing is the early emergence of an AI strongman mentality among younger Americans. Younger generations, again, this is the fourth turning that we're in now, younger generations are increasingly disillusioned with the failure of institutions, so much so they're willing to hand over control to artificial intelligence. Is this what's going to happen in this fourth turning? This is certainly what I guess the people like Elon Musk and technocrats and their puppet Trump are looking to have happen. When you look at Doge, for example, right? Big public relations thing about it. They're going to ferret out all the corruption, all the waste. They're going to do what conservatives have been talking about doing for a long time, but were never had the backbone or the vision to do. And that is, you know, there's one organization that's called Citizens Against Government Waste, I think is what it was called. But I used to always say, okay, so you talk about it being waste, and certainly you can identify some things that are wasteful, but it gets to the point where you're not going to really make any real change unless you have a deep discussion and an understanding of what you want to use the government for. If you're going to create a warfare welfare state, all of this inefficiencies around the fringe are just that. They're just fringe issues. You've got to get to the heart of the issue and have a question about what you want government to do and what you want government to not be able to do. And if you're not willing to have that, you're not going to get any real change. But Doge sold the people this idea that AI could do this stuff more efficiently. And yes, there's certain truth to a lot of that as well. It can go through and it can audit things like you and I, which should be something that is very frightening, the ability of this stuff to audit our lives. These institutions are so broken, so corrupt, so ineffective. How could it get any worse if we were to put AI in charge? They said that's what these kids are thinking. The results illustrate an incredibly dangerous trajectory for any society that values personal autonomy and liberty. 55% of those who identified as conservatives, 54% of the participants who are aged 25 to 29, wanted to have AI run their government. 36% of respondents expressed support for a proposal that gives AI control over, quote, rights that belong to individuals and families, including rights related to speech, religious practices, government authority, and property. They want to be ruled over by AI. I've not seen anything so dangerous, so stupid, so satanic since the Israelites said, we want a king to rule over us. And Samuel told him, he said, you know, he's going to send your young men to war. He's going to enslave your daughters. And he's going to steal your money with taxes. They said, that's right. We want one of those, right? Especially because we've got to keep up with the other guys, right? We got a gap in terms of, we got a king gap here, just like we've got an AI gap.
All the
with
cool
China.
Kids are ruled by a king.
That's right. Yeah, you know, the Philistines have a king. We need to have a king as well. We got a king gap.
I guess the only positive thing you could say about rule by AI is that they no longer need Jeffrey Epstein to get blackmail material on the rulers. They can just program it themselves.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, what were you looking at? Got you right there.
I think it's also worth pointing out that I tend to believe that when God says, you know, a king, he means, you know, any form of government that you enact that is not the one that I have given you where I am mm-hmm. directly in charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any form of government, no matter what it is going to have its problems, is going to have its issues. They were specifically, you know, in a...
Well, and that's what God said. He said to Samuel, he said, they haven't rejected you. They rejected me because I set up that model. And because I was communicating to them, and they don't trust me, they trust in chariots and horses and in artificial intelligence.
It is truly amazing how all throughout history we repeat the same mistakes.
That's right.
You know, every, you know, here
Human
in America,
doesn't change.
We're throwing out God and be like, you know what? We need Donald Trump.
Yeah.
God, wait, whatever. Get Trump in office again. That's what we need.
Yeah. It's, Yeah, we just keep making the same mistakes over and over again. The thing that changes is the technology, unfortunately, and the technology makes that human nature even more dangerous because it magnifies the evil human nature because the technology is being driven and controlled by the most evil among us. As I reported before, Albania recently garnered headlines in September after appointing an AI chatbot named Diella, Diella Deville, as Minister for Public Procurement, making it the first country to give AI a government position. According to the Albanian Prime Minister, Diella will provide assistance in curbing the extensive public corruption problem in Albania. "I'm not here to replace people, but to assist them," said Diella. Yeah.
Maybe it can make them even more efficient at getting their graft and corruption done.
"I come in peace. I'm here to serve mankind." Remember that story from Twilight Zone? So, "Truly, I do not have citizenship, nor do I have any personal ambition or interests. I only have data, a thirst for knowledge, and algorithms dedicated to serving citizens impartially, transparently, and tirelessly. Isn't this precisely the spirit of constitutional democracy? Exercising power in the service of everyone, free from bias, free from discrimination, free from nepotism, free from corruption. You're now my slaves," right? This is the illusion. Again, AI serves us illusions. And one of the primary illusion is one of objectivity in order to gain your trust and to make sure that you don't see the men behind the curtains who are actually programming the AI to have a particular bias as well. Well, we'll cover one more article because we've been going on for an hour and a half here, but we'll take a break. But this one right here, whistleblower says he was fired for warning executives that a new robot could crush human skulls.
I like the tagline of the article, but some skulls are thicker than others.
That's right.
I'd like to see the robot try to crush mine.
That's right. Yeah. So these numbskulls, this company is actually the Figure Robot Company, which is, they have some pretty impressive technology. That was the one where they, the robots were standing next to a refrigerator. If you remember that video, I should have put it in the deck. They're standing next to the refrigerator and they say, put this apple over here and put this orange over here, and it's got to look at these things and make determinations and identify them and then follow the instructions. And so it sits there and it waits for a second, as it's processing what it's seeing. And then it starts and but it begins and it has this California dude accent. "Yeah, sure, man." Type of thing. It cracked me up. It was like, "Whoa, okay, I got it. Sure, I got it."
"Can't wait to put your groceries away, dude."
That's the way they programmed this thing.
"Skull, bro.
Just put your skull in my hands, man."
So this is the guy who...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
He was there for robot safety and they fired him.
He was your robot is critically unsafe, says the man you've hired to tell you if your robot is critically unsafe. Get out, says the company that hired him.
Yeah, this is like Goat Tree. He said the big frustration with his job is people would hire him to find vulnerabilities in their system, especially at banks. And they would find them, and they would tell him, okay, this is how people can break in, that you need to fix this. They wouldn't fix it. He said they paid me a lot of money to go find this stuff, and then they wouldn't fix it. They'd just leave it vulnerable. So the principal robotic safety engineer had warned top executives, including the CEO, that the robots were, quote, powerful enough to fracture a human skull, according to the lawsuit, which was filed Friday in a federal court in California. It sounds like he had compelling evidence. In a harrowing close call, one robot narrowly missed striking an employee when it suddenly malfunctioned and punched a refrigerator, leaving, listen to this, a quarter-inch deep gash in the appliance's stainless steel door. I think that could kill you.
can to punch through a steel door. The L.A. lava vat factories.
The lawsuit
the
comes.
The real problem is we don't manufacture anything in the U.S. anymore, so you can't melt the Terminator down.
Yeah. Morgan Stanley estimates androids could be a $5 trillion market by 2050. And it's this enthusiasm that has fueled Figure's $39 billion valuation during a funding round in September, with major investments coming from some of the usual suspects, especially from NVIDIA, which is always going to be there. And so, you know, Figure does not want somebody raining on their parade. He also claims that he wasn't the only employee that was worried about these risks. After creating a survey where workers could anonymously report safety issues, injuries, and near misses with the robots, some employees had instead begun expressing their safety concerns directly to him. So when they... it just like,
sometimes the robot's eyes turn red. It starts saying it wants to crush my skull. Is that normal?
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but we've got a lot
Real
of comments.
Quick.
We've been talking for a long time.
That's right. We've got Star Barkley. Thank you very much, Star Barkley. That is very generous. We appreciate it. Says, my employer is giving a week's pay as a bonus to all the staff, which gives me the pleasure of donating some to the David Knight Show.
Well,
cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Star Barkley.
And thanks to your employer. That's nice of them giving a bonus out there this time. Yes.
Guard Goldsmith says the DHS located in Israel. That's right. All of our.
Yeah, they're the ones who are, when we're talking about the bots on social media and everything. Yeah, where are they located? Yeah, that would be interesting to see. Like I said, you know, about the White House or DHS, does Twitter think that they're actually in Israel? Or
yeah. I remember this was quite a few years ago now, but at one point people were pointing out that Jack Posobiec had accidentally left his location data on for a post, and it was right around like the Langley, CIA, Virginia area. And people were looking at it like, huh, Jack, what you doing over there, Jack?
Yeah.
Very interesting, Mr. Posobiec.
It's amazing how this guy has been groomed for this stuff from the very beginning.
I got a Jack Posobiec retweet once.
He got his... Alex was the one platforming him, just like Steve Pachinik and stuff. So Alex is there to basically build the creds for these CIA mockingbird influencers like Jack Posobiec.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget Jack Posobiec, you know, trying to sell this nonsense about Trump and Canada coming, having fentanyl and everything. He goes up to the border. Remember that clip where he's walking there in a small Canadian border town?
The horror.
American. And look at this. There's no fence. People can just walk across here. It's like, give me a break.
Anything could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Selling that kind of fear.
The moose might
sell
come
the
over.
Lies from Donald Trump. Jack Posobiec is just pathetic, but he's had a big deal. Somebody bought his, post-millennial website. So it does pay.
Yeah.
You know, these people do get their pound of flesh.
I wonder which one of the people that he's associated with gave him a sweetheart deal on that. Mm-hmm. I wonder. I'm just speculating. This isn't fact. Mm-hmm. Shield Your Eyes says, this past month, Trump meets with an Al-Qaeda leader, then Mohammed bin Salman, then Mamdani at the White House. What narrative could they be projecting right now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Strange times.
Just showing who he is, maybe.
Nibiru, 2029. Mamdani and Trump's son are business partners. They were probably negotiating the emperor's cut since Trump got Mamdani selected.
Mm-hmm.
Wally Walrus, I'd run a VPN if I was reporting Israeli atrocities. Yeah, run a VPN where... some kind of face distorting mask, that is the time you need to be wearing a mask when you're trying to hide from
That was the fallback position for people at X saying, well, we got the location wrong because these people are probably using a VPN or something like that. We're not using a VPN.
I have a VPN, which I use occasionally, but
So, but they say that I'm in Ireland.
I'm on top of the morning to you. Faith in me, Gora.
Yeah, I wish. Yeah.
No. The real Octo Spook says, exactly, there will be no jobs, quote unquote. Automatons will do everything, mine everything, grow everything, make everything. And if we don't own the automatons, they'll be used to control us and own us.
We're going to have to get out of the society. We're going to have to build a parallel society. And, it's a difficult thing to do. But I think this will force us to do it. And I see it as not only a judgment on our society by God, but I think it is, we're talking about how God puts us through difficult things in order to train us. I think that's going to be the way we're going to find our way back. We're going to have to go through a dark valley of the shadow of death in order to get through this, but we'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's the key.
Yes. KWD68 says, give it 10 years and we'll have just one corporation running everything, the U.S. government. That is what we see. Everything is narrowing down. Everything is being homogenized and purchased. Some company, it's going to all be owned by BlackRock and Vanguard, and they'll dictate everything.
And Elon Musk. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Molly Brown Dog, this sounds very like the lie. They got millennials to swallow in the early thousands. Oh, you don't want to work in those factories anyway. You want to work service jobs.
Yeah, that's right.
Sadly. Narrow Way, Narrow Gate Ministries. I just got back from the supermarket. I'm exhausted. So difficult now to find anything that isn't poisoned anymore.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we had a clip. I think it might still be in here. Let me play this for you. This is somebody going through Aldi's and picking up the packages and looking at everything that was there was bioengineered.
I'm here at Aldi, and almost everything they have contains bioengineered food ingredients.
And she's showing it, package after package. Bioengineered food. Package after package. She's just picking it up and running her finger across the phrase that says bioengineered food. This is Aldi. They're heavily into this stuff. And, of course, it was Aldi where they were rigidly enforcing the idea that you were going to not pay by cash. And they're the cutting edge of all this stuff. But, yeah, that is the case. It is very difficult to find anything that's there.
Yeah.
It's not really messed up.
Yeah, when we take...
I've had that in the deck for a while, never got around to playing it before.
We drive back and forth between here and Texas, it is just a nightmare to find anything that isn't garbage when you're on the road.
Yeah, that's right.
We have...
What were you going to say, Lance?
I just was saying, that's why I put it in there, is we've had that video in the deck for so long. I saw that comment and knew you would play that.
Oh, yeah, good. Thank you. Go ahead.
Skunk Hollow Rose Garden says, that's what AI is good for, replacing the work and hassle of making relationships.
Yeah, that's our key work, isn't it? Yeah. And take away that work.
Yeah. I mean, who wants to deal with the fact that people can say no to you or whatever? Molly Brown Dog, AI church counseling, and I keep thinking the church has sunk as low as it can go. I have some bad news for you, Molly. The church is filled with people, and as long as people can keep sinking lower, the church can as well.
Yeah.
New Republic Rising 83. AI is a fractalized mirror of human thought pattern. It's a product of who made it. Garbage in, garbage out. Enlightened in, enlightened out, like the founding fathers.
Yeah, that's right.
Steve Evs. Applying to NMAX and Karen Carpenter 27, says, I miss discussions with my grandparents. So different people compared to today.
Yeah, that's true.
Card Goldsmith says, we want your skulls.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to look at this thing that broke yesterday with Comey and Letitia James being let off the hook. I think it truly does show what amateur hour the Trump administration truly is. It is really kind of humorous, regardless of what you think about whether they should be prosecuted or not. And of course, the MAGA people are losing their minds over this stuff and outraged, and they're using it to feed the idea of, the bipartisan nonsense that they come after each other all the time for. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
I wish I had the Christmas Night Album.
Hot dog!
You can get the Christmas Night Album at thedavidknightshow.com for just $13.99.
It's right in the second floor there, see?
What'd you wish, George?
Well, not just one wish, a whole hatful. First, I'm going to thedavidknightshow.com and purchase the Christmas Night album. Then I'm going to listen to Christmas classics, like... Are you going to throw a rock?
I want the Christmas Night album, too.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight?
David's Christmas Night album includes 21 instrumental Christmas melodies like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Silent Night, and his all-new I'll Be Home for Christmas. What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it, pull it down.
I'll take it. Then what?
And then I'll buy you your own download of David Knight's Christmas Night album.
Whether you're feeling like the blues or bluegrass, APS Radio has you covered. Check out a wide variety of channels on our app at APSradio.com.
And again, we thank APS for carrying us on their news channel as well, APSradio.com. So I saw this yesterday, of course, the top headlines in most places, judge dismisses a case against James Comey and Letitia James after finding the prosecutor was unlawfully appointed. And I got to say, I told you so. We saw this coming. As a matter of fact, there was some other irregularities that turned up that were about the grand jury and what she was doing with that. This is somebody who's completely inexperienced, a personal lawyer of Trump, handling insurance issues for him, that he put in a fit of rage. And he told the world about it on social media. This has come back to haunt him. It is kind of ironic, I think, when you look at the fact that Trump has pursued vengeance against people who, I agree with him, the lawfare that was conducted against him was illegitimate, and it was persecution. And I think the appropriate way to do this, and I said this as he got elected, and he's talking about how he's going to get these people. I said, unfortunately, these people need to go to jail for what they did, but Trump is going to do it in a way that is not going to reinforce the rule of law. He's not going to do it in a way that would reform society. He's going to do it in a way that empowers him like a mafia boss. He's going to do it in a way that makes it clear that this is about personal revenge for somebody who tried to screw him. And he's going to nail them to the wall. And so, as a result, he was eager to come after them for anything. Just find something. I don't care. And you've had Pulte, that he's now assigned, the guy they put in charge of housing and urban development, HUD, I think is where Pulte is. His family built single-family homes. They were pretty big in Texas when we were there, Pulte homes. And I don't know if there are other states or not, but he put him in, and he used him to search down and to find process crimes for people. And I think one of them was Letitia James, but this is a different thing. And this is for the attacks on him personally. And so he was getting close to the statute of limitations. Pam Bondi was not getting anything done. There were no prosecutors who wanted to indulge in this kind of personal vendetta and persecution. So nobody was doing anything. As a matter of fact, one guy was quit or was fired by Trump, and Trump said, we're running out of time, and she's not doing the right thing. And I even said about that. I said, so what's the issue with this? Why doesn't he talk to her directly instead of talking to her via social media posts? But anyway, he made a point of saying that he had appointed Lindsay Halligan and done it personally because he's going to get these people. And then within just a few days, because that was all the time that was left before the statute of limitations expired, she filed charges against Comey and Letitia James. And then it turns out that there's a problem with him directly appointing her. Position has to be appointed by the Attorney General. And he had made it clear in his social media posts that he was the one who did it. There was no question about it. And so that was ultimately the downfall of this. But as I said before, he would go after people for the same exact stuff that they came after him for, the made-up stuff. So he goes after, he takes his enemies like John Bolton. I'm going to come after you for having documents. And it's a bogus charge, just like they came after Trump for having documents at his place. Or he's going to come after these other people, you know, Letitia James, because of bogus statements that she, you know, bogus charges. She came after him saying that he had made fraudulent statements in his bank loans, and yet the banks were not dissatisfied. The banks were paid on those loans. It wasn't any issue. It was just a made-up charge by her. So what he does is he goes out and gets Pulte to find charges against her for real estate transactions that she had in the past. Exactly the same thing. He comes after them for the same things that they did against him. And here's the interesting irony. Just like you had the special prosecutor against him was dismissed because he was improperly appointed Jack Smith. Now his prosecution of these people has been dismissed because of improperly setting up the appointing the prosecutor. It's a funny symmetry to all of this stuff. He goes out and gets them the same charges, and then they get off for exactly the same reason that he got off on this thing. So it's kind of funny. The Keystone Cops of the White House clown show here. And this failed attempt to get them. But that's not the way it's being seen, of course, by MAGA. This is all being used to push the partisan divide even more when these people do not want to admit the incompetence of their savior. This guy failed to get even. This is a gang that can't shoot straight, out for revenge.
This has been my continual refrain, is he's either on their side or he's so incompetent that having him in there doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
And as either way...
Both of those are true.
Yeah. And either way, it means he doesn't deserve your loyalty and there's no reason to vote him back. Why would you sit there and defend this guy that is continually selling you out, either through malice or incompetence?
So again, this is a judge, a U.S. district judge that had the case, a judge who was appointed by Clinton, therefore biased, right? And it may be true, but in this particular case, the judge is right. So because Ms. Halligan had no lawful authority to present the indictment, I will grant Mr. Comey's motion and dismiss the indictment, finding that Halligan lacked the authority to present a case to a grand jury. And there were other, many other irregularities. Again, as I pointed out, this is a person who handled contracts for him, had no experience as a trial lawyer, certainly no experience as a prosecutor, operating on her own because the people that were there who were experienced prosecutors.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas, and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
didn't want to have anything to do with this. They didn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. So there were all kinds of irregularities about how she'd presented the indictment to the grand jury. There were irregularities about how she'd handled the evidence. It didn't even get to that point. The very first point, which had been brought up, and this is the point that got it dismissed, was her appointment, which is very obvious. All actions flowing from Ms. Halligan's defective appointment, including securing and signing Comey's indictment, were unlawful exercises of executive power and are hereby set aside, said the judge, describing the insurance lawyer as a, quote, former White House aide with no prior prosecutorial experience, quote, unquote. This case presents the unique, if not unprecedented, situation where an unconstitutionally appointed prosecutor, exercising power she did not lawfully possess, acted alone in conducting a grand jury proceeding and securing an indictment. In other words, nobody else in the Department of Justice wanted to have anything to do with this, including Pam Bondi. And so she did it all on her own, and she had no experience in this at all. And she, I guess, got an F on the exam. So,
like I said last night, I think Trump thought they wanted a prostitutor.
He said, yeah, I can get one of those. I know lots of those.
I know many. I can get you the best. Get you the best? Oh, prosecutor. My bad.
Halligan was appointed at Trump's direction, the only prosecutor to present the cases. Since she acted alone, she was the only one involved. She signed all the indictments. And so because she was improperly appointed, there's not any person from the Justice Department that had their name on the indictments. So end of story, folks. That's it. The judge said the indictments should all be voided. A spokesperson for the White House said in a statement, the facts of the indictments against Comey and James have not changed. This will not be the final word on the matter. Well, we'll see about that. I mean, there's the issue that the statute of limitations has expired. They think they got a way to carve that back. I'll talk about that here.
I'm personally of the opinion that I think we should remove statute of limitations for crimes committed by those in public office.
Yeah.
If you're serving
pedophilia.
Yeah, especially that, but you know, just anything really. If you're in public office serving the American people and you commit a crime while doing so, I think no, there's no statute of limitations, you know, especially if you're abusing your power to enrich yourself at the cost of the American people. No, you don't get to get off scot-free because we didn't catch you soon enough.
They should be held to a higher standard. Absolutely right. Well, Comey put out on Instagram, said, I'm grateful that the court ended the case against me, which was a prosecution based on, this is what you were talking about, Travis, malevolence and incompetence. That's the question. That's always the twin horns of the dilemma of the Trump administration. Is he malevolent or incompetent? Which one is it? Well, it's both, actually. And a reflection of what the Department of Justice has become under Trump, which is incompetent and malevolent. Again, is there anybody in the Trump administration who could actually read the law? Do they care enough about the law to read it? Or are we just going to, you know, bluff our way through this thing with our dear leader acting as a dictator, declaring emergency after emergency and saying, now I can do whatever I want. Stop me. All right. Well, just ran into a roadblock here. He said, I know Trump will probably come after me again, and my attitude is going to be the same. I'm innocent. I'm not afraid. And you guys are incompetent, so I got nothing to worry about here. I am heartened by today's victory and grateful for the prayers and support I've received from people around the country. I remain fearless in the face of these baseless charges as I continue fighting for New Yorkers every single day, said Letitia James. I got to say, she's one of the most politicized and one of the worst attorney generals, the way she came after people across the country during COVID lockdown, the way she came after the NRA, she is a horrible, horrible political opportunist, an enemy of the Constitution, if ever there was one, Letitia James. Comey's attorney said in a statement that his reading of the ruling suggests the case cannot be refiled because of the five-year statute of limitations expired in the time since the indictment was brought. That's the reason that Trump rushed and appointed Lindsey Halligan in the first place, was because they just had days left on the indictment expiring. And in her defense, not only was she inexperienced in the role of prosecutor, but she was also up against an almost impossible deadline and acting alone because nobody else in the Department of Justice wanted to have anything to do with this. The Justice Department has said in court papers that it believes the case could still move forward, and they cite U.S. code. The federal statute that they cite says in part, quote, whenever an indictment or information charging a felony is dismissed for any reason after the period prescribed by the applicable statute of limitations has expired, a new indictment may be returned in the appropriate jurisdiction within 6 calendar months of the date of the dismissal of the indictment or information. Comey's attorneys have countered, however, that the 6-month grace period does not apply in this case because she didn't have the power to bring an indictment to begin with. So all of her official actions are void, a prospect that the judge expressly agreed with. In other words, whenever it's dismissed for any reason, then they can bring it back in 6 months. But they said, but this is never a legitimate indictment in the first place, and that should be the controlling reason. I think that rationally that should apply. You know, whether or not you agree with the result, that is the law. And somebody needs to start making the Trump administration comply with the law. I'm kind of happy to see their nose rubbed in this for that reason. Not that I like Comey, not that I like Letitia James, I certainly don't like her. Anyway. They also have other motions pending, contending that the charges should be dismissed because they were the result of a selective and vindictive prosecution. Those motions seek to have the cases tossed with prejudice. If you dismiss something with prejudice, that means that they cannot refile that. Another high-profile defendant being prosecuted by Halligan's office, Kabul airport bombing suspect Mohammed Sharifullah, also filed a challenge to her appointment earlier this month, charging that she doesn't have the authority to supervise or to participate in his case. Mohammed was indicted by her predecessor, and his motion is still pending. Another ruling disqualified Alina Haba, another personal attorney of Donald Trump, remember, as the U.S. attorney in New Jersey, and that has resulted in a number of criminal cases brought under her leadership being stuck in legal limbo while she appeals the decision. So prosecutor from Justice Department portrayed the questions about Halligan's appointment as a, quote, paperwork error. Well, maybe a paperwork error on your part, but it is a fatal error to the case that you're trying to bring. Comey's attorney said it was much more than that, said it was a fatal flaw in the prosecution of his client. Trump said on September the 20th that he was naming Halligan. That was the day after he forced out his initial pick, Eric Siebert. Siebert had resisted pressure to prosecute Comey and James. And so Trump brags on social media.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. And that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now through Compassion, Alejandra was treated and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yeah. That this guy won't do it, so he's forcing him out, and he's going to put somebody in himself. He hoisted himself by his own petard. He blew himself up with his own bomb, so to speak. So Halligan's appointment was immediately viewed as problematic because, according to federal statute, people in that post may serve for only 120 days after being appointed U.S. attorney unless confirmed by the Senate before that 120 days expires. So Trump's Truth Social post naming her to the position came a day after Siebert was forced out and shortly after another social media post where he publicly urged Bondi to push ahead with the prosecution of Comey James and another perceived political adversary, Adam Schiff of California. And so, again, this is this guy is, I guess, really the lucky loser, as the New York Times book points out. He had half a dozen casinos that he bankrupted, perhaps because he didn't understand what he was doing, and he really doesn't know what he's doing as president either. He said, Pam, I reviewed over 30 statements and posts saying essentially, same old story as last time, all talk, no action. Nothing is being done. What about Comey, Adam, Shifty Schiff, and Letitia? They're all guilty as hell, but nothing is going to be done, he said in the post. And so now nothing is going to be done. He said, we can't delay any longer. It's killing our reputation and credibility. What credibility? While he praised Halligan as a really good lawyer. 5 days after the post, Halligan, who had no prosecutorial experience, presented Comey's case to a grand jury. The presentation came days before a 5-year statute of limitations on the charges was set to expire. The judge is a Clinton appointee, and this is what many in the main in the MAGA media are focused on. But you need to focus, for once, maybe on the law and what the actual letter of the law says, and the incompetence of the Trump White House. Their stance on the 120-day rule has led to U.S. attorneys in California and Nevada being disqualified as well. And the Justice Department is appealing those rulings. So this is a pervasive problem that is not just this one prosecutor, but it's a whole bunch of stuff that's being done by the Trump administration. They have such utter contempt for the rule of law, they don't even bother to pretend about it. And hopefully that's going to be his downfall in many of these areas, like the tariffs. I'm hoping that the Supreme Court is going to throw that garbage out. A humiliating defeat as an ex-prosecutor trashes Trump's Department of Justice bungling on CNN. A former federal prosecutor, Elise Adamson, was on CNN commenting about this. She had been the U.S. in the U.S. Attorney's Office in the District of Columbia. She began with the appointment of Lindsey Halligan, handpicked by Trump. It was deemed to be unlawful by the federal judge and provided grounds for the cases to be tossed. She said, I thought the case was a choose-your-own-adventure of prosecutorial errors. And here we are, because this was a huge one. Halligan being appointed after the 120 days of the interim appointment had been exceeded was a huge problem. And indeed, the court agreed that she wasn't lawfully appointed. And the problem here is that Halligan did everything on her own. And so now these indictments can't stand. So that was the key thing. It wasn't just that he was doing it without the Department of Justice, but that 120-day period had passed. So CNN anchor Audie Cornish asked Adamson whether she had ever seen anything like this before. Though she qualified her answer by citing the dismissal of the classified documents case against Trump, which was tossed when Trump-appointed Judge Eileen Cannon ruled that special counsel Jack Smith was unlawfully appointed. How about that for symmetry, like I said at the beginning? So She said, actually, this one is unique. Usually, Department of Justice follows proper process and procedure. Now we see what happens when the DOJ attempts to do an end run around those procedures. The cases now have been dismissed, possibly delivering a humiliating defeat to the Trump administration. Well, just wait until the tariffs are thrown out, which, again, they should be. Everything about the basis of imposing those tariffs is fraudulent. And the policies, the vacillating, arbitrary, capricious rates of tariffs that he imposed on people were just beyond stupidity. And it should be slammed, dunked, and thrown out. And if they do, the chaos that is going to come when the government has to refund all that money to all those different countries and companies truly is going to be a real mess that is there. So when you look at this, you have people, the people who are the bots, whether they are real or whether they are not, they have turned themselves into bots. People like Nick Sartor. Breaking, federal judge just thrown out the case against Comey. Total BS. Bring the indictment again. Comey must be held responsible. Well, maybe these Trumpsters who see that there's no 4D chess that's being played here. That was a good thing, Marjorie Taylor Greene saying that. You know, there's no 4D chess. There's not even a plan, folks. Will they ever believe that? And there yet you still see these tantrums from the Trumpsters. Yes, Lance?
There are no blockchain watermarked ballots.
Yeah, Steve Buchanan's fantasy. Julie Kelly says, this is unbelievable. Well, you better believe it, because the president has no respect for the law, and he doesn't care what it says, and eventually it's going to come back and bite him, all these lies and tricks that he's been pushing, and I hope it bites him big time with the tariffs. Those things are horrible. Not only the authority that he's exercised, we do not want to form a government where the president can attack. And there, again, with that, there was no plan. I mean, what was he trying to do? Was he trying to raise revenue? Was he trying to protect a particular industry? I mean, that would be reprehensible enough. But no, this was to basically go to war with countries that he didn't like, or to reward countries where he liked the leaders. It's pathetic what his goals were. Before we take a break, go ahead and cover the comments there.
That's right. Mad Mims, thank you very much. We appreciate it. It says, when you interview Dr. Shiba, ask him about the clean and raw foods, please.
Yeah, so I have to get him back on. We had him scheduled for an interview last week, and there was a scheduling conflict on his end, and he didn't realize it till the very end. And so we're going to reschedule him, and we'll get him back on. He's going to be running for office again. But I like what Shiva does. He uses these runs for political office to organize people and to tell them that they can actually fix things themselves. And that's a message that I heartily endorse. Yes.
Don't Frag Me, Bro says they are now also using meat glue to make scrap meat look like a cheap steak.
Yeah. Chicken nuggets, isn't that it?
Meat glue. It's actually something they used to layer meats together.
Mm.
And when you're using it, you have to be very careful. You don't want to inhale this because you're made of meat, funnily enough. Your lungs are technically meat.
Wow.
And if it gets inside, it can cause them to gum up and stick together. Oh, so you have to be very careful when using meat glue.
Wow.
But it is something they do.
Yeah.
Molly Brown Dog says, kind of wish David could play these nostalgic Christmas videos all year long. An island of peace in a darkening world.
Well, yeah.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com. BlueGrassAndRockMusic.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Work on them all year long, but I've got a couple of new songs so far for this year. I don't know if I've got enough to do another album or not, but I've got a couple of songs that I do.
Maybe
work
an
on.
EP.
Buy it at thedavidknightshow.com or davidknight.news, and then you can play it year-round.
That's right.
That's right, yeah. Lance has this solution. He's got it figured out. Karen Carpenter says, love the brass. Miss those bands like Chicago and Tower of Power that had great brass sections.
Yeah, me too. That's what we used to cover all the time with the bands that I was in, because I played horn, and so those are the kind of songs that you're going to play. We played Beginnings so many times when I was at Busch Gardens that the lead trumpet player said, I think I can just take my trumpet out here, put it on the stand, it'll play it all by itself. It knows it by heart already. So we played Chicago. Actually, we had Maynard Ferguson. We had a Maynard Ferguson arrangement, Living in the Past. It was done by one of the guys. I didn't do that arrangement. And we had a guy who – we had a couple of interesting things when we were at Busch Gardens. One day we had Burgess Meredith showed up in the audience and came up and introduced – he didn't introduce himself, but the drummer recognized him and went up. He had a cap on, all this other kind of stuff. You know, he didn't want to be – identified, and so the drummer goes, are you Burgess Meredith? And he goes, yeah. It's like, don't tell anybody. And he kind of goes away. But after one of these sets, a guy came up and said, oh, that's a great arrangement of that Ferguson tune. Where'd you get that? And I was like, well, John did that, you know? And he goes, I wrote that arrangement. And John was like, whoa. It's like, am I in trouble now? But he thought it was pretty good. He just wanted to know if somebody had put that down on paper and was selling his arrangement. But anyway.
Good band, if you like brass, that is still active and around, is Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. Hmm. They do swing jazz.
Really?
Big band swing jazz. Pretty good.
You didn't tell me about them. But, you know, we saw Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and was it David Clayton Thomas, I think, was the lead singer. Saw them live in concert in Cary when they came in. That was really good. There's a lot of live concerts that I was not a fan of, because usually if it's a pop group, they can't really hack it, you know. But the great concerts that I've seen were typically jazz musicians, because they could play it live. And actually, it's as good or better live. Usually better live than it was with the album. But the rest of the people, if it was like some pop group, I'd look at it and say, you know, for the cost of that ticket, I could buy their entire discography. And I could have every one of their studio-produced albums, and it would be much better. But Blood, Sweat, and Tears was excellent. I also heard Weather Report live once. But I got to say, the very best concert I've ever seen in my life of any genre was Buddy Rich. He came to our high school when I was a senior in high school. And our band director organized a series of concerts. And one of the other concerts was Harry James, who was somebody that when my band director was young and playing in bands, he really looked up to him. But, yeah, he really wasn't very impressive at all. But when Buddy Rich came with his group, that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I got to see him practicing in the band room as these guys get their stuff together. And I was like front row seat the entire time. And Buddy Rich was just unbelievable the way he played. I think I've talked about this before, because Guard told me about his Buddy Rich stories. But he came out and he starts playing, you know, drum and everything. And he's playing around for a little while, and then he yells out a number the next tune is going to be. And he kind of keeps an eye on everybody. So he's playing some pretty involved stuff. And then he just goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, and they're into that thing. And they were excellent musicians. And when it got finished, he didn't stop. He just kept going. You know, he'd keep playing something, and he'd think a little bit, and he'd call up another tune. And he's got all this stuff from memory, and he was kicking everybody's parts in with them. It was truly amazing. And he took an intermission, and the guy was soaking wet from working on this thing. I mean, it was amazing workout to watch him play.
Also, imagine doing it in Florida as another added layer of...
That's right. Well, it was an air-conditioned studio, but he was still sweating. And they had it set up so that he could take a shower and change clothes during intermission and come back out, and he was at it again. Unbelievable. Musically, physically... It was such an amazing concert. I'll never forget it.
It's always interesting when you hear a really good drummer. You know, most bands, the drums are just kind of there in the background. They, you know, carry the beat along, and you don't notice them that much. But when you hear a really, really good drummer...
Yeah, these are complicated charts, and he knew everybody's part. I mean, he's going to kick in this section and that section and all the rest of it. So he was truly one of a kind. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also, amazing to be able to see him.
Another band, if you're interested in jazz-related stuff, maybe the band Squirrel Nut Zippers. They're a little weird. You can check them out on your own time. The Ghost of Stephen Foster is a song I like. Huh. Do Not Obey says, jail is for those who are small and disliked, like the common folk.
That's right.
That's right. It's for you and me, Do Not Obey. That's where we're ending up. The Real Octo Spook says, Letitia James and Comey's crimes are documented on the internet. And we all watched Comey as he committed his.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, this is the usual story. You know, the big guys get away with it. Look at James Clapper, who was never even indicted. You know, his statute of limitations expired when he lied to Congress about his dragnet surveillance of the American people. And so, you know, when I look at this, it's to the point where it's like, okay, yeah, we got another criminal. And we got them in both parties that are getting away with crimes. And so this is just more of the same, actually, that is there. So we're going to take a quick break.
It's real frustrating to see these people getting away with it. But at the same time, we don't want the government ignoring due process and
That's right.
the rule of law and statute of limitations and all that to get someone that they just have a personal grudge against. It's not because of what he did.
That's right. This goes back to establishing the rule of law, which has come under such disdain by Trump. And so from that standpoint, it's a good thing. I don't like to see these people get away with what they did. And I think what they did to Trump was wrong. But, you know, this is also wrong. And this whataboutism or the two wrongs do not make a right. Just put it bluntly. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
It's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Okay, welcome back.
Yes.
You had something you were going to tell
us. That's right.
As a matter of fact, we got a comment from Guard, who also likes that band. I'm going to have to look them up.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. They're actually really good. Really good. But quickly, I want to remind people that we are listener-supported. It's support from people like you that keeps us on the air. So if you like the show, you can go to subscribestar.com/The David Knight Show and sign up there. It's a really good way to support the show and keep us up and running. But I also want to let you know that homesteadproducts.shop is having a sale on their crazy-ass gun lube. And they say that it is a lubricant that attaches to the metal surface at the molecular level with no buildup. Pell's moisture prevents rust and doesn't run like some of the other oily lubricants do. It doesn't get sticky or pick up dust or dirt or gum up. Will not attract lint or hair and has no foul odor. So if you're looking for some new gun lube, you can go to homesteadproducts.shop and check it out. Again, it is their crazy ass gun lube and it's on sale right now. It is $5.48. Get the bottle for that. And also you can use promo code Knight at homesteadproducts.shop to get 10% off all of their products. So again, homesteadproducts.shop, their crazy ass gun lube is on sale. If you're looking to pick up a bottle of more gun lube, go check it out. Also to remind people that you can go to jacklawsonbooks.com.
As a matter of fact, Jack's got a new article, a Substack article. We're going to be cross-posting that later today as well.
And you can go to jacklawsonbooks.com, pick up the Civil Defense Manual. As you can see, this is Volume 1. There are two volumes. Look at how big Volume 1 is. The other volume is just as large. It is loaded with information. It is all about protecting yourself, defending yourself in times of trouble.
And it's a physical copy for a good reason. If you're thinking about prepping, you know, you want to make sure that you got some physical.
Yeah, if you're in the worst case scenario, you're not going to have time to pull out your phone and be like, is this mushroom poisonous?
The internet may be down anyway.
And I don't know if Jack Lawson covers a list of poisonous mushrooms or not, but just this is about how to defend yourself.
Well, he does
yourself,
tell you how to make pemmican and some other things like that. As a matter of fact, I just saw an article from Organic Prepper where they were talking about making pemmican and the different things that they're going through with it. But he focuses on that and a lot of other things that are very, very practical and things that are going to help you to prep and to survive. And he understands just how fragile our infrastructure is. And so I'm really happy to promote the products that we've got here in terms of Civil Defense Manual and, of course, the products, the home products that are there. Great, innovative, clean, organic products.
They make sure they work very hard to make sure that they're of the highest quality and that they're made in America.
Yes.
And so when you shop with them, you are shopping with like-minded people, people that feel the same way you do. So you're supporting another.
And a good guy. Mm-hmm. I've known him for a while, and he has been tested and shown his integrity.
And also, briefly, real quick, rncstore.com, you can get the bitter raw apricot seeds. It's a good way to potentially stay outside of the medical industrial complex. They have been shown to have all kinds of benefits, many of which I can't effectively discuss for fear of getting in trouble with.
Yeah, we have a two-tier system of governance here. If you are a big pharmaceutical company and you want to become even bigger and get your stock up to trillions of dollars, you can sell semiglutide, Ghia monster poison to people. You can do all kinds of stuff like that. If you're a big connected corporation, FDA says that you are free to do anything. That's what the FDA stands for. But if you're not connected with the big pharmaceutical companies, you are forbidden from doing or saying anything. So not only can you find some very valuable products like apricot seeds and B17, which is well documented, but you can also do your research at RNC stores. And you can do your, always should do your own research. And they have some excellent materials there that will help you with that.
Yeah, G. Everett Griffin's book, A World Without Cancer, is available on rncstore.com. And, of course, you get 10% off with promo code NIGHT at RNC Store as well.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about A World Without the Cancer of the federal government. These are two investing titans that are issuing the same warning. And this is an article from Zero Hedge. When Ray Dalio and Jeff Gundlach, two legendary investors with wildly different worldviews, start warning about the same thing, it's worth paying attention. Both of them said today's economy is distorted and warned that illusory wealth, quote-unquote, may vanish when reality eventually bites. In what world would a billionaire investing legend Ray Dalio and Jeffrey Gundlach, I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly, I don't know if it's Gundlach or Gundlach, come to the same conclusion about the economy? Well, in this one, they would. If you're not familiar with either of these financial giants, Ray Dalio is the billionaire founder of Bridgewater Associates, the world's most successful hedge fund, says this Zero Hedge article. Jeffrey Gundlach has been trading government debt so successfully for so long that he's known as the Bond King, which means that these two men have amassed their fortunes with wildly different philosophies and methods about how to do it. And that makes it especially surprising that they've come to some of the same conclusions. Two very different billionaires with one warning. First of all, there's two principles that they are both talking about now that have a massive impact once you understand them. Principle number one is that price signals can lie. The information that you normally glean from the prices and the valuations may be distorted by the economy, and almost certainly are right now. And you need to know and understand that. Principle two is that unrealized profits are not the same as real wealth. You know, we talk about paper profits. In other words, you're looking at the stock as it goes up, but you haven't really realized that wealth. You know, that's illusory until you're able to sell it at a profit. Just because the value goes up on paper doesn't mean that you can actually get that amount when you...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Finally convert it to actual money. Many of us learned that lesson during the dot-com bust. Now, I need to be clear here. I'm going to be talking about these men and these principles to help you understand current investing. So, but he's not giving investment advice. This is coming from Peter Reagan, who is saying this, is the author of it. Dalio says net worth is not the same as wealth. He said, what you're seeing, the numbers on the screen, aren't fixed numbers. Wealth is measured by asset prices, but prices go up and down. And when debt is used to buy these assets, Dalio says you can't get you can get unreasonable prices. This is a huge problem because the debt has to be paid back. And to pay the debt, you have to convert an asset into actual cash. And this is a problem when it is a massive number of people who are doing the same thing. Massive number of people have bought these assets by incurring debt. And when they need to sell this stuff, and frequently that creates a panic, that's how these bubbles burst. Because then the asset prices start to fall dramatically, and a panic sets in. Selling an asset pushes the price down. It's supply and demand. More of something in the market, the less demand for each unit of that thing. So the price goes down. Except that the borrowed funds have to be paid back with the proceeds from the sale, which is typically going to be done at a lower price, which means that the debt-fueled buyers end up with much lower profits than they expected, maybe even losing money. Dalio says this price drop that's necessary to pay off the debt is often what causes the economic crashes. Market, he says, artificially propped up by debt, not by cash. That's why the prices don't have much of a relationship with the purchasing power that the price represents. A price is not a profit until you sell it. And Gundlach has the same concerns. He said, there's no argument against the fact that we are in a mania. He doesn't use the term bubble, but he's talking about mania, which is a well-documented quirk of human nature. He said, there's no argument against the fact that we're in a mania. He points out the same craziness that we're seeing in the economy that Dalio has talked about, just pointing it out in different ways. A mania, as defined by Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is an excessive or unreasonable enthusiasm. And that's exactly what we're seeing with the prices of financial assets compared to what those assets are really worth. People are speculating and making buying decisions based on their hope that a higher than normal market valuation will continue to increase. And what we're seeing is something that we have seen before. Asset prices that are disconnected from reality. Stories about assets becoming more important than facts about those assets. People making decisions based on a story instead of logic. And that always causes problems. Where do they agree, these two billionaires? Besides agreeing that prices are all out of whack and they can't be trusted to reflect actual value, they both agree on a defense. They both agree that physical gold ownership is very important. It's important to understand why they both say that, though. Gold's price is tied to inherent worth based both on its real-world scarcity and its usefulness in the real world. It's more than just a number on a screen. Precious metals stay relatively consistent in terms of purchasing power over long-time horizons. So while currencies like the dollar will continue to devalue, and while irrational exuberance eventually turns into depression and cynicism, and while debt repayment pushes asset prices down, precious metals will retain their real-world purchasing power regardless of what else is going on in the world. Precious metals are a hedge against inflation and against irrationally inflated prices. Their store of value role has lasted over 5,000 years of human history. And, of course, you know, when I've talked to Tony Arterman about this, you know, we talk about how if you go back a century and you look at gold and what you could buy with it, you know, the example, the story was a guy getting a custom-made suit, then going to Europe and doing certain activities. And basically, it was the same amount of gold, roughly, then as now. And yet, if you look at the currency numbers, they were radically different because the currency has been devalued by the central banks. That's an interesting story. And we've talked about Ray Dalio before because he is very much in tune as well to the issue of the fourth turning. And he's one of the few people who openly talks about it. Everybody else talks about the different generations, millennials, Gen Z, Gen X, and all the rest of the stuff. But they don't talk about the fourth turning aspect. Ray Dalio does. And so, and he's been doing a lot of talking about that. To look at the other side, however, exactly opposite of these two rational people telling you the truth, is Scott Bessent, Trump's Treasury Secretary, and the Soros soy boy, who on Sunday admitted, rather refused to admit, that inflation has gone up for Americans. He was on NBC's Meet the Press, and Welker said to him, "Inflation's gone up. It's at 3% now from 2% in April when the tariffs were imposed." Bessent replied, "No, no, no, no. So inflation hasn't gone up. The one thing we're not going to do here is what the Biden administration did. We're not going to tell the American people they don't know how they feel. They are traumatized," he said. Well, his remarks sparked outrage, says this article. Trump's administration is doing the same thing it accused its predecessor of doing, telling consumers not to believe their own pocketbooks.
And, yeah, they're saying that they accuse their predecessor of doing it. Their predecessor did do it, and now they're doing it. They denied it when the predecessor was doing it, and now they're pointing out the hypocrisy with them doing it, but they themselves are hypocrites.
That's right. On X, one person said, "The inflation went from 2 to 3%, literally, and no amount of no, no, no is going to change basic math."
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yeah. Reminds me of the Ringo Starr No, No, No song. No, 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 don't inflation no more. telling Americans inflation hasn't risen right after tariffs pushed prices higher is the same gaslighting that they accused others of doing. You don't fight economic anxiety by denying the reality. You solve it, but instead Trump is making it worse, and he's lying about it. Trump and the Republicans have learned nothing about how badly Biden and the Democrats bungled inflation. Instead, they're repeating some of the same mistakes and the lies. And this is why we have a uniparty here. Scott Bessent can't stop saying really stupid things, said John Harwood, journalist. You know, one of the dumbest things I've heard anybody say, and you remember it was, what was it, last week or the week before, where he was talking about beef prices, and his excuse for it, he said, well, unfortunately, when the immigrants come in, they bring their cattle with them. Just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Absolutely no truth to that whatsoever.
It's these gosh darn Mexican cows.
Yeah, he's saying that, you know, they brought in this screwworm thing from Mexico. Let me ask you, in terms of, you know, you're not supposed to believe, even though you see the prices going up in the grocery store, according to Scott Bessent, that's not really happening. And he wants you to believe something else that you haven't seen, which is a massive cattle drive. of Mexicans coming across the border, bringing infected cows in. It's not that at all. The real disease is the federal government, and the real disease is the money printing and the raising of taxes. Trump is a tax and spend Democrat. It's one of the reasons why he picked a Soros guy to run his Treasury Secretary. He has always been a New York City Democrat. And just take a look at who he's bringing into the White House and entertaining and honoring. You know, Muslim terrorists and another New York City socialist communist, Mom Danny. So, again, Scott Bessent is a joke, if ever there was one. Gold and silver have gained as a barrage of U.S. economic data is coming up, and people are expecting it to bring news that is going to help the price of gold. December gold was up just over 4,000, just under 4,100, 4,096. In December, silver prices were at $50.25. So crude oil prices are now trading at about $58.50 a barrel. I saw that and I thought, that's pretty amazing. Oil, which has typically been about $80 to $100 when silver was down around 20, and now the two of them have converged. Oil has come down to the point at which a barrel of oil, and I don't know how many gallons that is in a barrel, should have looked it up, but a barrel of oil is now about equivalent to an ounce of silver. Pretty amazing the way the markets move here. And so gold is around 4,100. Strong investment demand limits the downside, says Standard Chartered's Cooper. So when you look at it, it says, although gold is down about 6% from last month's all-time high, when you look at what is going on with Bitcoin, it got down close to $80,000 for Bitcoin, which is about 36% down from its high. Gold is not necessarily set to benefit from an equities market under pressure, they said. And because, as Ray Dalio was pointing out, a lot of people have bought these stocks on margins. They've incurred debt to do it. And so if the stocks go in the opposite direction, like if NVIDIA goes down, the people who bought that on margin, they're going to get a call on that, and they're going to have to come up with the cash for that. Where are they going to come up with the cash for that? Well, they may sell gold if they've got it. And so that's what we see happening sometimes, people taking profit in gold in order to cover their losses on the stock market or their losses elsewhere, maybe whether it's on Bitcoin or something like that. So when we look at what is happening with Bitcoin, it truly is getting into an amazing area. You have Cointelegraph says Bitcoin's realized losses are getting to the area where they were with FTX. Remember when that crash happened? But people are saying, so where's the bottom with this? What is causing this? Again, you can't figure out the manias and you can't figure out the markets. We just know what the gold standard is, I think. And that's one of the reasons why when I look, I'm happy to have Tony Arterman, who's a supporter of this show. And he set up a way for you to gradually accumulate gold, which we all should be doing as a hedge, you know, depending on how much you want to do gold and silver. You set up David Knight Gold. I'll take you to Tony Arterman's Wise Wolf Gold. He can help you with gold and silver purchases. He can help you with a metals IRA, and he can help you to accumulate it on a monthly basis. Nobody else that I know of does that, but I've known Tony for a very long time, and I think he's very trustworthy. The sale and speed of these losses reflect a meaningful washout of marginal demand as recent buyers unwind into the drawdown. And oh, by the way, while we're talking about Tony, if you want to get out of Bitcoin, he can help you to transfer that without, I think, any fees from Bitcoin into gold. I think he's doing that, isn't he? I'm pretty sure.
Tony does all kinds of different things. If you want Bitcoin, you want to sell Bitcoin, you want gold, you want to sell gold or silver. Tony can help you with all of that.
He can transition from gold into Bitcoin or vice versa. So
actually got to stop in and visit him in Denison on our way back up from Texas. It's a great little shop. It's a really cool old building. If you're in the area, again, go check out Wise Wolf Gold and Silver in Denison, Texas.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'll just point out before we leave, as what people are looking at here, analyst at UBS says that the Bitcoin flash crashes below 82,000. Again, it got down to just above 80,000. Needed before.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky. And I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack. And guess what? They're going to give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild. And we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It becomes more constructive. So what they're saying is it's going to go down further and then consolidate and come up, they think. That's their opinion. Meanwhile, a lot of investors are rethinking this 60-40 portfolio in the U.S. because gold is now becoming a core allocation. Typically, what they've said in order for you to have diversification is that you would have 60-40 stocks and bonds. And they just split it between those two. Now they're saying because of gold, Morgan Stanley's latest Global Insights calls gold an attractive hedge against fiscal largesse and geopolitics, noting that its 50% rally year-to-date and its near-zero equity correlation. So in other words, it's independent of those. It is accelerating the adoption, they said, of real assets like ETFs. I would just caution you, ETFs are not real. If you get gold ETFs or silver ETFs, you don't have real gold or silver. You're getting a paper investment, which and you're buying shares in a corporation that claims it has real gold and silver and may actually not have it. They don't move in conjunction with the spot price of physical gold and physical silver, and it's not really under your control. But they're talking about the fact that gold allocation today is about function rather than fear. And they say you can see that because of the massive inflows into paper gold and paper silver of $10 billion in September alone. And so a lot of that is retail investors who want to, basically they don't want to deal with a gold and silver dealer and get physical gold. They want to just pull up something on the internet and contact their broker. And while that may be faster and more convenient, it's not the same thing at all, really. So instead of treating gold as an accessory to a portfolio, some strategists are now treating it as a core of real assets and saying instead of the 60-40 stocks and bonds, a 20% reallocation from the bond bucket that acknowledges that diversification is no longer about opposites, but it's now about orthogonality. For allocators, this isn't nostalgia for the gold standard. It's recognition that the architecture of portfolio resilience is changing. The new 60-20-20 mindset of stocks, 60% stocks, 20% bonds, and 20% gold may prove less a radical break than a quiet return to first principles, holding something that no one else owes you. And, of course, this is what Tony has always talked about. He says it's not somebody else's debt that is there. So that's why it is a safe haven, actually. And when we look at the future of gold, you see analysts at, let's see, where is this at? This is, trying to see the source for this. I didn't have it marked here. But one analyst is saying that the only way for gold to reach $10,000 an ounce is if it goes above $5,000 an ounce next year in 2026. And they talk about why there's a good chance that that may still happen. Not only the central banks, but especially retail investment, has not really even kicked in yet. And in terms of a real mania, we've seen some aspects of it in other countries, but a retail mania has not kicked in yet. Most of this has been driven by central banks. Right, so we're going to take a quick break, and got a comment here, Travis.
That's right. Hi, Booth says, Travis, is the Lawson Civil Defense Manual the same book as Lawson's Ultimate Shit Hit the Fan Manual he wrote? I don't actually know. I checked his website just a minute ago to see if there was a different book on there. There isn't. There's three separate books. The Civil Defense Manuals, Volume 1 and 2, are one of them, then two other ones. This might be an updated version of that book, but I don't know for certain.
Yeah, perhaps, he's been selling the Civil Defense Manual since I've first interviewed him.
So he's had the Civil Defense Manual out for quite a few years. This might be the magnum opus where he's gone in and, you know, correlated and put everything into
one. But he does have a new article that's out, and we're going to be putting cross-posting that onto our Substack as well. And again, if you want to get the show without commercials in terms of an audio podcast, you can get that if you subscribe at Subscribestar or if you subscribe at Substack. Both those places will get you the audio podcast without any ads in it. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, folks.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars,
let's go,
and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is competing,
you'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
Well, welcome back, folks, and we have even more fallout now from this back and forth over illegal orders. And it's interesting because the Trump administration, Donald Trump and his administration, have now staked out, and for them, it apparently is a hill to die on. They have now staked out the position that you must obey illegal orders. What an absurdity that is. And what an abomination and repudiation of the Constitution and the rule of law. To say, they're going to say that you cannot say that people should not obey illegal orders. You must not say that. And if you do, they're going to come after you. And so now the Pentagon, under War Pete, is saying that, openly talking about the fact that they are investigating Senator Mark Kelly over a video urging troops to defy illegal orders. They want to go back and investigate him and give him a dishonorable discharge or something like that. Again, over illegal orders? What is the problem with these idiots that are there? Very dangerous. The Pentagon announced Monday that it is investigating Democrat Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona over possible breaches of military law after the former Navy pilot joined a handful of other lawmakers in a video that called for troops to defy illegal orders. And again, I am not a fan at all of Mark Kelly's policies. I disagree with him on everything. He's one of the worst gun control advocates out there. He's the husband of Gabby Gifford, who was shot at a rally, and fortunately she didn't die, but it turned the two of them into rabid anti-Second Amendment advocates. And I don't agree with his other policies either. I mean, he's a Democrat. I don't agree with anything the guy does, but To come after him because he's saying that you shouldn't obey illegal orders. What is their problem that they can't understand that? The Pentagon suggests. What's that?
They're making a hero out of this guy.
I know. Why make heroes out of some of the worst people? But the Pentagon suggested that Kelly's statements in the video interfered with loyalty, morale, or good order and discipline of the armed forces by citing the federal law that prohibits such actions. So we've now got the executive branch and the Pentagon under War Pete now telling you that you must obey illegal orders. As I said the other day, didn't we have this discussion with the Nuremberg trials? You know, we had people who were up for charges for things that were violations of moral law, of international law, things that have been done in prison camps. I was just following orders was the expression. It's like, well, you don't follow the orders to do anything and everything. But that is now the position of the Trump administration. I mean, they really do want to embrace this whole fascist thing, I guess. You will do what I say. I mean, they're embracing it, being a king and all the rest of this stuff. Go ahead.
What an amazing statement that it's immoral to disobey illegal orders. It's unloyal and immoral to not to disobey rather, it's if you care about the law, you are immoral and disloyal.
Yeah, exactly the opposite.
If you're loyal to your country, you're disloyal to Trump.
It is, the country is not Trump. The government is not Trump. The Constitution is the country. The Constitution is the king, not Trump. This is meant to intimidate me and other members of Congress from doing our job and holding this administration accountable. It won't work, said Cully in a statement. And again, this is a very bad guy. They're making him into a hero. And I think, as I said before, not only did Donald Trump step in this dog do that was laid out there as a trap for him, but he jumped up and down in it in a temper tantrum, and he's splattering it all over himself and the rest of his administration. Defense Secretary, or I should say War Pete, said that Kelly was facing investigation because he's the only one of the lawmakers who is formally retired from the military and is still under the Pentagon's jurisdiction. Kelly's conduct brings discredit on the armed forces and will be addressed appropriately. Let me say, Pete, your conduct brings discredit on the armed forces. What are we supposed to think about a Pentagon that demands that people obey illegal orders? You're pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Their foolish screed sows doubt and confusion, which only puts our warriors in danger. This guy is a hero in his own mind. Kelly's status as a U.S. senator, however, could complicate the Pentagon's investigation because the Constitution, remember that thing, Pete? The Constitution that you swore to uphold? The Constitution explicitly shields members of Congress and from White House overreach, said Anthony Michael Kreis, a constitutional law professor at Georgia State University. Having a U.S. senator subject to discipline at the behest of the Secretary of Defense and the President violates a core principle of legislative independence, Kreis said in a phone interview. So troops, especially uniformed commanders, do have specific obligations to reject orders that are unlawful if they understand that. And, of course, Jason Barker sent an email to me, which I thought was very good. He pointed out that this unlawful order thing was very big to him. He said he was rebutting Fox News on Twitter, and he dropped a link. He said, you may want to check out to cover this. Some examples in the article where soldiers and commanders are to be held accountable by law. He said, I also wanted to point out something that the general public is unaware of. He said, the Army doctrine went to a concept that is known as mission command. This is being pushed very hard around 2018 and onward. My spidey senses threw up red flags back then. When mission command does its absolve commanders of wrongdoing if their subordinates conduct themselves in immoral or unlawful ways, in a nutshell, they give a general idea of what the end state should be, and they give subordinates the latitude to operate with a certain level of autonomy to accomplish the goals. The idea was to free up the bottleneck of asking permission for every move, but what it really does is to make the people executing the mission the scapegoat when things are not done correctly or done illegally. Our higher commanders are all now weak and willing to accept the pay, but will not take on the risk of bad decisions. And he points out, he said, he was appalled when he saw this. He said he's fortunate enough to have one commander that really instilled in us and brought the regulations to back it that we were not to follow illegal orders. So he says, sorry to rant about the mission command thing, but I've been a huge opponent of the idea since I started pushing it. We should always have clear rules of engagement as well as a declaration of war before taking any action. We are where we are now because they have blurred the lines between what we can legally do and who has to fall on the sword when things go wrong. So that's from Jason Barker, Knights of the Storm, and he's absolutely right about that. He was in the military, and he, along with a lot of other people, fought these unconstitutional illegal orders from Biden about the jab and many other things. It's very important, and as these people who are pushing back on this are saying, one of the key things that they're looking at is the way the military is being misused here domestically. And that is a very concerning thing. So Trump says that you're committing.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Treason if you criticize him. Because essentially, he is the law, and he is the country, and he is more important than the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't matter. As Slotkin, who put this thing through, and again, I'm no fan of her. She's a Democrat. And former CIA, so as far as I'm concerned, that's three strikes right there. You're out. But this is the woman, by the way, when asked point blank, well, what illegal orders has Trump given? She couldn't think of any. She doesn't see what's happening off the coast of Venezuela as being illegal and criminal. Well, the rest of the world does, even if you can't see it through your CIA blinders. And you're training this there. But she said he's trying to shut us up because he doesn't want us talking about this. And again, understand the partisan games that are being played here. But the reality is that this is an uncomfortable truth that they're telling about Trump. You know, sometimes, they're putting this out. As one guy said, this is all propaganda. I talked about this yesterday. He said, this is nothing but propaganda. Well, you know, you can use the truth to harm somebody who is a liar, like Trump. There's white propaganda, there's black propaganda. White propaganda is when you use the truth to make your point. Black propaganda is when you use a lie and you tell people lies to make the point. Mike McCall, one guy who is very heavily into the military industrial complex out of Texas, he said, when he was asked about it on one of the Sunday shows, he said, well, I don't speak for the president in terms of hanging members of Congress, which he's called for on social media. He said, I would tone down the rhetoric, and I would tone down the theme here. Better watch out. He's going to get kicked out of the Republican Party in Congress by Trump for talking like that. On Saturday night, Trump again referred to them as traitors, asserting that the individual should be in jail right now, not walking around. And so Slotkin said in an interview, she said, you don't have to take my word for it. I've had report after report of legal officers, of JAG officers coming forward and saying, look, I pushed back on this. I'm not sure that this is legal. Well, you know, pretty much everybody else is sure that it is not legal. This is not a gray area. This is a real clear-cut line here. He's giving people illegal orders. It'd be interesting to, I wonder if anybody has tried to reach out to this commander who resigned from Southern Command. This is all happening in his jurisdiction, and again, he had only been in for 1 year of what's typically a three-year stint in that position. He resigned. No comments about why. Not from him and not from the Pentagon. They're keeping all this stuff quiet. I think that he's got concern about that. She said, there is such a thing as illegal orders. That's why it's in the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Going back to Nuremberg, right, which is what I talked about yesterday. And it's a totally benign statement to say that you must not obey illegal orders. But she can't say that, you know, regime change in Venezuela is illegal, because that's exactly the kind of thing she was probably doing her entire life. Primary concern is military use within the U.S., she said. And that's the other aspect of it that we should be concerned about. that the Trump administration is acting this way, both foreign and domestic. The Trump administration has shown itself to be an enemy of the Constitution, both in foreign and domestic actions. And so we want to talk about who the real traitors are. Look at the guy who pardoned Jonathan Pollard because he was paid to. If that isn't an act of traitorous conduct, I don't know what is. The biggest traitor we've got right now is Trump. Benedict Donald, as I said.
I still have that video in the deck if you want to play it.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, here he is. This is Miriam Adelson flying Jonathan Pollard in on her own giant jet, being met by Bibi Netanyahu, and Pollard kisses the ground of Israel after being one of the worst traitors in American history. Pardoned by Donald Trump because Miriam Adelson told him to. You want to talk about somebody who is a traitor to this country? That's Donald Trump. And as a matter of fact, you know, when we...
what a beautiful moment.
Yeah, what a beautiful moment, yeah. This is a guy who not only gave secrets to Israel, but then Israel betrayed America by giving the names of American soldiers, as well as signals intelligence and protocols being used by the Navy, gave it to the Soviet Union after Jonathan Pollard stole it and gave it to Israel. Yeah, they're so proud of this guy. He's a real hero.
After 35 years.
Yeah, he should have been there for life.
The Prime Minister of Israel for bringing us home. No one could be prouder of this country or this leader than we are.
And this is the guy that Huckabee then met with. And Huckabee had this to say about Christians and Israel.
I get asked all the time, because I'm a Christian, and they say, well, why are you so supportive of the Jewish people? I said, you can be Jewish, you don't have to have anything to do with Christians.
But you don't have to have anything to do with Christ.
Understand right? That your entire faith is built on the foundation of Judaism.
No, it's built on Christ.
We look at this as an obligation,
built on Christ.
Moral debt. That we must repay, and therefore I don't understand anyone who says I'm a Christian, but I don't really want to support the Jews. Well, how can you do that? But it is not the view of those of us who are what I would call biblical believers that accept that what the Scripture says about the Jewish people in Genesis 12: those who bless Israel will be blessed; those who curse Israel will be cursed. It gets pretty simple. I say there's a miracle every day.
It doesn't say that. It says to Abraham, "I'll bless those who bless thee." Not your descendants. And it says, through you, all nations will be blessed. That is through Christ, not Israel. Stop with the phony Christianity, Huckabee. You're a traitor to this country. You're a traitor to Christ. I just can't stand this anymore. These people, such traitors. He's not an ambassador for Christ, and he's not an ambassador for America either. He has given that up. Thank you for listening. Have a good day. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
60% of top distributors run on Epicor Profit 21 ERP. It's ERP purpose-built for distribution with real-time inventory visibility, smarter purchasing, and tools that make every day easier. Don't play catch-up. Visit Epicor.com/win.